Please note that the following program includes adult themes and language. You're listening to the weekly show on Discourse.
Yeah, I'm back.
Episode 10, No Sleep Till Discourse, with Ben and Morgan. We're back.
We're back.
Back in Studio One, in the steamy heart of tropical Auckland.
The steamy, spongy...
That's television's Ben Gracewood.
And you were just hearing...
And I'm television's Morgan Nicol.
Morgan Nicol, there you go. There you go. What episode is this, Morgan? What episode number?
Oh my God, Ben, it's so exciting. This is episode number 10.
Number 10.
10.
It's in fact the 11th episode if we count episode zero.
I don't think we should.
Double digits.
Double 10. Digits. It's amazing. Episode
we need a solid gold best of coming
who
up
ever thought? A highlights, a clip show. Oh my God.
We need to bring back Keanu.
A clip show on a... Oh, man. Given how much editing goes into making a normal episode, making a clip show would just... I would just shit.
You should just take everything off the cutting room floor and turn it into a show. It'll just be like silence and ums and, and redactions.
I've been considering making a little special just to show people the difference between an edited and an unedited sequence.
That would be good,
because there are some bits, like last week's Word of the Week in particular. Mm. What the listeners at home don't realise is that we had a fourth person in the studio who made a guess. But it was incoherent, so
and
I cut it.
And it's so smooth that I actually forget. I forgot there was a fourth person in the studio.
There was a fourth person. There was another guess, and that's what led into my guess.
I have a newfound appreciation for your editing skills after my last night's session of trying to make a video.
Don't feel bad, Ben. I am enfant terrible. I mispronounced enfant. Probably. I don't care about the French.
There's a guy next to me who's sort of straining at the leash because he's trying not to laugh and over the pre-intro, so we better introduce him.
No, I think he can keep straining. He can keep straining all he likes.
He's desperately trying to stay quiet.
Well, no, we haven't discussed how we're going to introduce you. I guess we say prolific podcaster.
Podcaster.
Mark Derrickett.
Yes.
We've got a guest on Discourse.
Welcome, Mark.
A.K.A. Welcome. Naked on IRC.
Really?
That was a long time ago.
Yeah. I was Zaphod with 2 Ds. Little pun there.
Right.
Yeah. And then 3 Ds, and then I think 4 Ds, because that is a very popular nickname on IRC.
Of course, during winter, I was also Deacon, which is naked backwards. It's too cold being naked all the time.
Right. Fair call. Yeah. We don't really have Mark on for any particular reason other than that I quite like shooting the breeze with him.
He's a skilled podcaster, so it's good to have him on mic.
It is good to have him, but our podcast sounds better than his.
I'm a skilled podcaster, not a skilled editor.
Or a skilled have a mixer and microphones.
Ouch.
Well, listen, he records directly into a Zoom. He doesn't. Do you actually use microphones at all?
No,
just, yeah. Well, I mean, that's cool. We sort of tried that once. It didn't work very well. I think it could work well.
But from our very, very first meeting on this podcast, that was our non-negotiable.
Yep.
Quality.
Quality.
Yeah.
Yeah. Whereas Mark's gone for content.
Which we could do a lot better with.
Well, if you heard our episode 0s, 1, 2, or 3, that never got published.
Does it hurt your heart, Mark, when we say that we are New Zealand's best podcast?
We didn't say that.
Well, we quote. That. We repeat.
I think he's that in his first episode.
No. Someone said that about our first episode, so we used that as a quote from then on.
And then other people have said, this is my favourite podcast now. And, I mean, legitimately, it probably is New Zealand's best podcast.
Well, as far as New Zealand content goes, I think you're probably currently one of the only New Zealand podcasts.
You'd be surprised. If you look in iTunes, you'll see some really shitty ones from crappy radio stations all over the country.
I don't call radio stations rebroadcasting.
It's not a podcast, is it? It doesn't count.
It's a rebroadcast. I mean,
otherwise, Radio New Zealand National.
Yeah, they'd have Radio New Zealand National.
Well, if you're going to go that route, most New Zealand churches broadcast via podcast these days.
So, I buy that. I think that's probably a valid podcast.
As a podcaster, Mark, I'd have to say you're not very good at getting on the mic.
No, you're way off the mic. We even moved the stand to suit your relaxed, your casual posture.
Well, that's because I don't use a mic usually.
Yeah, you've got to be used to it. It's up in your face. And you gotta,
you've got to get right on there. We actually have senior cultural commentator and Wellington correspondent on the line, Robin Gallagher. Are you there?
Hello, yes.
Senior culture commentator and Wellington correspondent, Robin Gallagher.
Hi, Robin. It's amazing because your Skype line is so clean that we get you there when you're quiet.
Wellington's studio. No
Studio 3.
Expense been spared for Studio 3.
We hear there's a mohair pop filter down there.
Yep. Yeah. It's luxury.
That's amazing.
I'd like to run my fingers through it.
Oh, God. Tell me about how that makes you feel when you rub your fingers through it. What are you wearing?
Just a mohair throw.
Oh, my God.
Brilliant. So thanks. Welcome, everyone, to episode 10. That's very cool. I'm pleased with the stuff Morgan's going to cut out.
You're pleased with the beer?
Actually, yeah. I'm more pleased with this beer than I was with that Ranfurly pap. These two
that
bottles
was a
were
disaster.
It was an absolute disaster. These two bottles were left in my fridge after the party on the weekend.
Yeah, I left a bottle of bubbles in there as well. I was hoping you'd bring it so we could celebrate episode 10. Oh. Pop the cork, but no, you probably drank it with your wife while you were naked doing things. This is DB Export 33, 33% extra brewing for low carbohydrates, and yeah, generally I would say it was rubbish, but by comparison with the Ranfurly, it's like nectar.
It's quite
when you open the cap and you can actually smell beer, makes a big difference from the Ranfurly.
Like I said last time, the fact that I'm not a beer connoisseur, but it really is giving me an appreciation of just how shit that Ranfurly was.
Yep, astonishingly bad. It's absolutely astonishingly bad.
Wow.
So, Mark, you're not actually even drinking the Export 33. You're having a Spates Distinction.
Spates Distinction, it is. I'm not much of a beer drinker, but this is actually quite a nice drop.
Yeah, I disagree. I think it used to be... I feel like they've changed something about it. Or maybe I've changed something about my mouth. Maybe I've reconfigured my taste buds. I feel like there's just some less flavour in it than there used to be. But still, probably by comparison with many... large producer beers in New Zealand, it's probably still better.
I think it was more that it was cold.
Oh, yeah, well, it's definitely that. It is muggy. Are you still wearing woolly hats and cardigans and gloves down there in windy Wellington, Robin?
No, it's, T-shirt weather, got a bit of sunburn on the weekend.
Wow.
Sunburn, golly.
You went to a sunbed, didn't
yeah.
You?
You got to watch those sunbeds. They're all terrible, apparently.
Yeah, they'll give you skin cancer.
But I'll tell you what, I have a vitamin D deficiency, like a proper medically diagnosed Rickets. Vitamin D deficiency because I don't get enough sunshine.
Did it give you bow legs?
No, not yet. That only seems to happen to children. The risk is osteoporosis in grown-ups.
That's not nothing to laugh about.
Basically a medically certified goth, so that just makes me really happy.
That's brilliant. That's very true.
And according to you, apparently the de rigueur suit colour is black. In Wellington, and I understand that you're probably going to move on from TVNZ to some crappy government job, so I expect you're probably going to be dressing in black shortly as well.
Kiss my ass.
It's like my DICK stands for kilt, in case you're born yesterday. Sorry, I couldn't help that. Public Enemy are about to play in Auckland. It's very exciting.
Are you going?
Probably. Actually, I haven't ordered tickets yet. It's at the Town Hall, which is... strikes me as a bit weird. Their online ticketing system is so shit. It's so bad. Oh my!
The Edge.
Yeah.
It's a app called Tessitura.
It's so bad. It seems to randomly select your seats, not using any kind of sensible what are the best seats available algorithm, but just a random selection.
That's amazing.
Where are you going to sit? Are you going to sit over there or over there? Over here.
But you can then choose what seats you want, can't you, after that?
By adding more.
Really?
Yeah, you can keep adding seats until you have hundreds and hundreds of seats in your cart. And every time you add more seats, it gives you more time to select. Like whatever crappy JavaScript they're using to calculate how long you should keep your seats for. I got it over an hour remaining to... You don't want to talk about this? Does one of your companies work on this site? Yeah, if you're going to laugh kind of out of control and go kind of beat red, you've got to be on the mic.
We honestly need to cut at some point.
A friend of mine used to
This is one of your sites, is it? If you compare it to
Village?
Event cinemas, a Village doesn't exist anymore, son. Event or events cinemas, which of course used to be Village, where it assigns you the seats that it thinks you're going to want, but then you can just click around and choose any combination of seats you want. I mean, that's just beautiful. It seems so simple. I mean, it's probably some Oh, is it Java or it's Flash?
It used to be Java and it used to crash all the time.
Right, but now it's Flash. And they've had a very similar system for a decade. Mm. It must be heading for that. Because I remember how wonderful it was when I realized that we could do such sophisticated things as order movie tickets and pizza on the web in New Zealand. And that must have been about 98 or 99.
But that was effectively just paying by credit card online, and then you'd go and collect your tickets and you couldn't book a seat or anything like that, could you?
I think you could book a seat.
Don't think so.
No, you don't think so?
No.
So when did they add the seat booking? Was it a few years later?
Yeah.
That might be correct.
It was quite a few years ago, but it's been there like that for ages.
Yeah, it's been like that for ages.
It's really ugly.
It was terribly ugly, and it's still quite ugly. I don't really like anything on black. I don't think those web pages are nice.
No.
Black web page. I mean, I'm sure that there, you know, our listeners could now come up with 1,000 beautiful examples of black web pages, but I don't know that that's a good one. But yeah, so that's the way. I think that's the benchmark for New Zealand ticket ordering things.
Right.
You know, show me the seats that are available. Let me see at a glance and let me choose the ones that I want. Why not?
I mustn't have bought from the Edge because I thought you could select your seats and click on them.
When you create an event, you need to put a tick in a checkbox that says let people choose their seats, because you definitely can't do it. Yeah. You can say if you want to be on the ground or if you want to be like in the upper, like the shitty back circle or something.
You can view the sectors or whatever, and that's about it.
You can choose between three things: general access on the floor, general admission on the floor, the seats way up in the back, or the seats kind of in the hall.
So we're talking about the town hall. Maybe it is that the town hall doesn't have allocated seating. It only has areas of seats.
No, because once you add seats, once you say I want two people's tickets, it will give you a seat row and number.
Oh, okay.
So it does give you an allocated seat, but doesn't let you actually select. And by re-adding more seats, we were thrown all around the horseshoe up.
Now,
there.
Hey, have you sent a complaint to their online system? Because I heard a really interesting point today. That there's a difference between complaining and moaning.
Yeah.
Complaining means you're talking to the person that can do something about it.
Yeah.
And moaning means you're not.
So I'm moaning.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's possible that I'm talking to the person who can do something about it in the form of one of our listeners.
Yeah, true. Actually, yeah, it's quite true. Yeah.
It's possible that one of our listeners has something to do with the company that built this system. Ben.
Possibly.
If you don't take direct action, you're going to end up being one of those people on Twitter who goes, "Hey, Vodafone, why does your service suck so much?"
Now, let's see. Who did that today, Ben?
I don't know.
Ah!
But then I did try and complain. I actually went and looked for their service notification, and they posted it privately on their forum, so you couldn't see it unless you signed up and logged in.
I've complained about Vodafone things on Twitter before, and they blocked me from their Twitter.
That's right. Yeah. It was Paul Brislin.
Yep.
It may not have been Paul Brislin. It may have been
Said it wasn't him. He said it was one of the other marketing people. Yeah. And that is kind of hilarious. I mean, to be fair, I did snark at them a bit. But, I mean, I'm always open to a conversation. I'm not actually a troll. I may show some symptoms of being troll-ish or troll-esque, but I'm not a troll. And they just never seemed to do anything right. They never seemed to do anything right, Vodafone. So, I mean, what good can I say about them?
I have to say, if I had a personal phone account, not a company phone account, I'd be on XT in a heartbeat.
Yeah.
You know, it's just they had teething problems, yes, but you just have that gut feel that a nice, clean, new system, it just feels like Vodafone has become kludgy over the years. They've added so much stuff
to
it.
And they're notorious for having shitty internal systems and just an appalling hierarchy. Yeah.
I don't know anything about the management being terrible
to deal with.
The tweets that you heard that Paul was putting out around the when they upped the limit on smartphone plans to 3 gigabytes and they basically can't pack it back down again.
Mm.
They need to code a billing system change to get rid of it.
Yeah.
So that's why they're saying, hey, good news, another 2 months of 3 gigabytes.
So there are these text promotions and campaigns and so on. I don't know if it's still true, but I know that at one point it was true that their short code database, so like this 4-number or short word that you would text to, that was run out of a spreadsheet, an Excel spreadsheet. It wasn't a proper database. Wow.
So when you bought a new short code, they just look it up in the spreadsheet to see
if it's
available.
They didn't really know how to add them.
It was a while ago, you could actually Google for it and you could actually find
find the spreadsheet?
A spreadsheet that was on a public website on Vodafone that listed all the short codes and the companies that they were allocated to.
Nice.
So now, Robin, last week we spoke about Te Papa kind of not being great with this latest exhibition. And you dropped the scoop that you weren't allowed to sketch or have a pen and paper or take photos or have a phone or anything on your person while you were in the exhibition.
Yeah. How did you find that out, Robin?
There was a sign on the entrance and maybe also around the exhibition. So I noticed it on the way in.
That's interesting. And so you didn't get told off? Because I saw on Twitter some guy he was trying to take a note of an artist's name and he got bailed up for it.
I was actually taking notes. I was writing probably the same thing, writing down names. I just thought...
You were just doing your job for discourse.
Yeah.
You could say ridiculous. That if they tried to stop you. You could say, wait, no.
No, this is for discourse. Yeah. You fools.
It actually said, something like no sketching. It didn't say no note taking. So, you know, technically...
Well, they've definitely revised that.
So I sent an email to I sent a complaint, or really a media inquiry, and I sent four questions. I said, is it a complete museum policy? Like, am I allowed to sketch that big whale skeleton or any other art collection? And I also said, if it only applies to the European Masters, is that a condition of display or is it just purely applied by the discretion of Te Papa? Then I said, are visitors allowed to take notes using a dictaphone or type notes on a computer or iPhone? And then I said, our visitors are allowed to take photos. And their response was that the museum does not have an overall non-sketching policy, so you're free to sketch pictures of whale skeletons.
I fucking own that skeleton.
There is a strict non-photography policy in some areas of the museum, such as Toi Te Papa Art of the Nation, and signage alerts visitors to that, right? The non-sketching policy for the European Masters Exhibition has been applied by Te Papa in consultation with the Stadel Museum, given the vulnerability of some of the works and also concerns regarding the constrained circulation space within the exhibition itself, which I think is ass. Dictaphone would be fine, as long as the person using it was not disturbing the experience of other visitors. No issues with a computer, no cell phones or smartphones are allowed in the exhibition, again, as to not disturb other visitors, and also because of the camera devices. And then no photography is allowed, as many of the works are still in copyright, which amazed me.
Not the old masters, they aren't.
No. Do you know of any of them that are new enough to be in copyright, Robin?
Some of them are from the early 20th century.
It's such bullshit, isn't it?
Like
copyright. Ownership. Owning old ideas. Copyright is meant to kind of protect innovation. And how are you protecting innovation by saying you can't take a photo of a 90-year-old painting?
And how are you
what innovation
You're
is
You're not
going
to get a good enough photo to take prints and sell them anyway. And
I think so. What if you so what if
some
you
galleries have rules like no tripod photography.
Right.
So that's going to stop people trying to professionally photograph them, but it's not going to take away the fun of just the tourist who wants a souvenir.
Yeah.
Growing up, I always just see signs saying no flash photography.
Well, the thing is that at the...
My camera's pretty flash, bro.
At the Louvre, for example, everyone's taking photos of Mona Lisa, and she has a special one-way glass on it to stop it from being nailed by the flashes. They say
a one-way glass, but presumably you can
UV,
see it.
Sorry, a UV protective glass.
She would be looking at a mirror, so the light would hit her face... Bounce back to the mirror and then hit her again.
I presume it's polarized, that, you know, UV filtered or whatever. But the funniest thing of this whole scenario is then quickly Jane Keegg from Te Papa came back to me about half an hour later and said, oops, my mistake. iPads and iPhones are able to be used, as you can download the exhibition audio guide directly to these devices as long as their camera function isn't used. So hot tip for discourse listeners. You can take photos with your iPhone as long as you pretend you're listening to the audio guide.
Yeah, just stick in your earphones, your ugly, awful, white Apple earphones.
Yeah.
So did they actually say what they do if they actually catch you using cameras?
I imagine they...
I think they'll ask you not to and probably request that you delete it, the photos
search.
You've taken. Yeah, they might get up Mr. Jellyfinger.
they'll rip the film out of your iPod.
They'll take an X-ray photo of your naked body.
Oh, dear.
It must be so much less. What's the word I'm looking for?
Fingers.
Jazz hands.
Spirit fingers.
Fulfilling.
Hello, baby.
So much less fulfilling for security guards because you can't just tear out the film and throw it in and overexpose it and throw it away.
Now get out of my theatre.
You kind of have to fiddle with finding the one by one deleting the photos.
Yeah.
I suppose you could find the format function.
If someone pulled a film out of my camera, they would be up for a punch in the face, I suspect. Even getting the camera out of my hands, good luck. Because, if you try and do that, you're probably assaulting me.
Yeah.
It was interesting because I went to the No Sleep concert on Friday.
No Sleep. I don't know what this is.
No Sleep Till Auckland. It was a music a one-day music festival.
Tell me about that.
And I
know that the sort of music you like, this probably means it was like black electronic modern goth death hell metal from mainly from German bands.
Not from German bands.
Satan!
Do you really want me to do this?
Satan!
That is freaking me out. Stop it.
Satan! Jugga-jugga-jug. Your soul. Jugga-jugga-jug.
I think that's too jugga-jugga-jug. Slow. Isn't it a speed metal?
Your soul jugga-jugga-jug. Mine. Jugga-jug.
You've got to introduce some musical instruments of your own. There,
I'm trying to think what goes with it.
Bung bung bada bing bada bing. Just, I mean, offset it with like some kind of funky.
Just scream. You get some yells of pain, of anguish, of turmoil.
I started with that.
Just imagine you're using an Android phone, Ben.
But this button's in the wrong place. I feel like
oh
I'm in
hell.
Satan designed this user interface.
Well, it was Google. No, but I was taking some photos on my Canon. It's a G9, so it's kind of a higher-end point-and-shoot.
Yeah, it's not as high-end as Robin's. I think she has a G10. No.
And
shame.
A rather large security guy.
Did your penis just suck back up inside your body? I heard a snap.
Yes, a security guy just kind of like tapped him on the shoulder and kind of like ushered me out of the venue.
Crikey.
And I had to surrender the camera for the rest of the day.
Did he go through and delete the
photos? I've got a G9.
No. Oh. So I was almost tempted to take out the memory card.
Your penis can come back up, Mark. She has a G9 as well.
Were you going to, take the memory stick out and put it up your bum?
No, I was going to put it in my pocket.
Doesn't it normally go in the vagina? That's what like the Greenpeace people do, right? They're like, they've had in films and stuff up in the vajay.
I don't have one.
Put it in your gen.
You didn't have a memory card. No wonder you couldn't take any photos.
How long is your foreskin?
That's a very...
That's private.
Yes. I'm directly asking a question about your genitalia. It is private.
We'll discuss that later.
Okay.
Need more beer for that one.
All right.
So they didn't make you delete the photos. They made you take the camera. They had to surrender your camera.
So I just had to surrender the camera and got it back at the end of the gig. And thankfully I got all the photos and video. So
cracky. So tell me more about this gig.
So we were correct in our genre reproduction.
Pretty much. It was there was like hardcore death metal, thrash, Megadeth.
I read in the paper they were doing they were instructing the crowd to do what was it, Wall of Death, where they get them to part and then rush together.
There was one band that was definitely doing that. And,
doesn't that cause injuries?
A lot of injuries.
Right.
Yeah.
I remember getting into the mosh pit at, they called it something slightly different, at the Dust Bowl, where they actually made kind of a circle where people went.
The circle pit?
The circle pit, that's it. Man, it's like taking the mosh and making it more violent because people were literally charging at each other and slamming them with their... forearms and elbows and shoulder barging.
I've had like in some of the hardcore punk gigs where you get people doing roundhouse kicks.
Yeah.
Kind of like how you get like your break dancers and running in doing a bit of a dance. You've got hardcore people coming in doing roundhouse kicks, fist punches, and you don't want to be by the edge.
No, it's absolute madness.
And painful.
Yeah, I bet. I mean, you're a pretty big fella, so I imagine you can probably absorb a fair impact. But
a steel cap boot to the head. That doesn't matter.
That's hard to absorb.
Yeah,
fair call.
I used to love that when I was 18, going to gigs and just get beaten up.
Moshing,
yeah.
Yeah, it was fun. And I did it when I went to the Cribs earlier this year. And Johnny Marr is in the Cribs at the moment. And so there were all these dads in the audience who were there to see their idol. And I just thought, I can't be bothered just standing around watching. And I was jumping all over the place with all the young punk asses. Had a great time. And I was bumping all these dads with their cameras trying to take photos.
That is the thing that gets me about concerts these days, the photos of the crowd. And they're all just sitting there taking photos.
Yeah, it's appalling. If you look at a crowd shot from behind now, it's just a sea of white rectangles.
And what is it going to...
All these glowing
you
screens.
You get a little blurry photo of some
completely
distant
thing. Over-clipped audio.
And I'm definitely guilty of having done that myself. It's just something that you easily get lost in, but I think that you give up a lot when you pull out a camera like that.
you basically remove yourself from the moment. Yeah. And I think it's far better to, you know, put the camera down. Chances are there will be a professional photographer there taking nice close-up photos. Absolutely.
You can use
you can find them online later.
Or, I mean, to be fair, you know, it's a band. Do you even need to see a photo of them?
Yeah.
That was interesting because I used to do media photography at Parachute Music Festival. And one of the things I really loved doing was crowd photos. Like photos of the people right at the front of the pit getting there. Getting angry, getting there, shouting, screaming along with bands. And you just see like...
At Parachute?
This is...
Yeah, I love Jesus too! I can completely see where you're coming from!
They had hardcore punk bands there. And they were violent as well, just as any other gig.
Yeah.
And
but,
you've got
but
like...
But praising the Lord while being violent.
I know they were screaming, I couldn't really
It seems inconsistent.
It really does. I always wonder about those thrash metal Christian bands.
It's weird stuff.
Slayer.
Maybe
Slayer? No.
Slayer is Christian? No, I don't think that's true.
Who was the Christian one that started with this?
Tom Araya from Slayer is a Catholic.
Right.
But Kerry King is a Satanist.
But does Catholicism really count as Christianity?
Oi.
Let's ask Benedict Gracewood.
It definitely is a Christian religion.
Lapsed Catholic. But aren't you worshipping like false idols?
And the crucifix.
Well, it's not just the crucifix, Mary. Who the fuck is the Pope, and who are all these saints that they're worshipping? Now, I mean, Catholics might say, we're not worshipping, we're venerating. But what does that mean? When you're praying to a saint, you're worshipping them.
As far as I know,
quite clearly,
I'm very, very
only
lapsed.
Pray to me.
But the Bible says God hates figs and stone your neighbour and all that sort of stuff as well. It's bullshit.
And I think people should be consistent if they believe that. They should actually do it, and then we'll see how many people actually believe it.
As far as I could tell, again, I'm no theocrat scholar or whatever, that, you know, if the definition of a Christian religion is people who hold Christ, you know, as probably the main figure, the main prophet, if you will.
Yeah, the Son of God and God.
Yeah, so that's Catholicism. In a nutshell, so
yeah,
yes, there it is, a Christian religion,
as
opposed to Islam, where Jesus was just a prophet of many.
Yeah, I mean, it would be hard to argue seriously that Catholicism wasn't Christianity.
Yeah,
but there seem to be additional things that have been added in doctrine, which don't really appear to be in the Bible.
You could say the same thing for a lot of mainstream Christian churches, though.
Oh, of course, it's like the weirdo
Brian
snake
one.
Handling and all these God wants you to be rich religions.
Yeah,
the whole prosperity teaching just really irks me.
Strange. He's great.
This is actually quite awkward to talk about because I know that you are a practicing Christian.
I'm a practicing cynical, jaded Christian.
Mark was the one who gave... sorry, am I cutting over your story?
No.
Mark was the only audio feedback we've had who talked about us swearing too much. Fucking cock.
But you got to use it for something, right?
Sorry, Morgan, you were saying this is awkward because Mark's a Christian.
I was just wondering if maybe we should talk about this at all. I don't know. We don't have any stories about Christianity.
Are you a Christian, Robin?
She's
in New Zealand.
I mean, I was not baptized.
Christened?
What do you call it? Christened.
You were sprinkled.
I didn't go to church apart from brownies and funerals.
The brownies go to church.
Really?
Yeah, Brownies, it's a Christian organization.
What the hell? Are you fucking...
When you do the brownie promise...
I bet your brownie treat was just different.
Hang on, let me see if I can remember.
Kayla! Always be prepared!
Can I do the brownie promise?
Yep.
Okay, I promise to do my best to love God, to serve the Queen and my country, to help others every day, especially those at home.
Oh my God!
Wow, God and Queen.
In a manner of speaking. That's incredible. I had no idea. No, now I wonder if a friend of mine is quite Christian because I think that rings a bell from Scouts.
It's not massively Christian. It's just that kind of nice Anglican kind of, you know, giving meals on wheels to old people,
Anglicans
that kind of thing.
Because I remember from Cubs and Scouts growing up.
All Protestants are evil.
We did the end of year events with Cubs was actually in a church.
I tell you a funny thing that I always thought when I was growing up, I always thought the IRA were Protestants because they were bad guys. Until I was about 15, I worked out that the IRA were Catholics.
Welcome to the Discourse Weekly Show. I would like to apologise to our listeners.
Have you not been recording?
And all New Zealanders.
So this will be another long episode, but we've only got the intro so far.
I mean, it's basically, it's impossible for us to ever be longer than episode 9. So, I mean, we don't really need to worry about it
You
anymore.
Don't think? That sounds like a challenge.
No, of course. I mean, of course.
Episode 9 was anomaly. Why was it so long? We had a lot to talk about.
Too many speakers.
The beer.
The thing is, we didn't drink any more beer than we normally drink.
I certainly didn't. I only had 2, I think. Maybe 4.
There's something in that beer that fosters talking around, talking shit.
Yeah.
It's magic.
Do you know who else has apologized to New Zealanders lately, Ben?
No, I don't.
Google.
Oh, they have. You're right.
They know everyone, of course, I'm sure, in our listener base, has used Google Street View. It's part of Maps and Google Earth. Mm. And they've heard about the concerns in some other countries of Google's Street View cars driving around. What are you laughing at, bro?
Carry on. I've got a story which links into this.
Okay. I wish you'd brought it up before so I could have done a better segue than a false apology for Ben starting talking about Northern Ireland, the troubles in Ireland.
It was Germany, wasn't it, where they got in big troubles?
They got in big trouble in Germany and also, I think, in Canada and in France and possibly in England, basically just about everywhere.
Collecting Wi-Fi
because
traffic.
As well as taking a photo and doing their GPS stuff and, I guess, you know, confirming that roads were where the maps said they were and all of that other stuff that they did with their cars, they tracked wireless access points, Wi-Fi access points, and then they used those with mobile devices as well as GPS to try and find locations for mobile
devices.
There's
nothing wrong with that, right? So when I turn on my phone inside at my workplace, it locates me exactly because it knows that someone outside at my workplace got a good GPS fix in the same location as the Wi-Fi access point was available. Nothing wrong with that.
So GPS can sometimes take minutes to actually get a lock.
And it sometimes doesn't work inside,
And sometimes, and usually, often it doesn't work inside, depending on how inside you are.
Yeah.
And so this is meant to be just a database of where it found unique SSIDs and locates them geographically. Yeah. But as well as just keeping a database of that, they were also capturing packets of data from the networks as they drove past them, which doesn't make any sense to me.
It doesn't make any sense. It's really, really weird. An engineer, it's almost like an engineer said, holy shit, I'm going to have this car driving around the world, cars, with a Wi-Fi sniffer on it. Imagine the shit I could else would you think it?
Last I heard, that was actually slight test code that was deployed by accident.
Yeah, all over the world.
Whoops. By accident. That's such
apparently.
But, I mean, if you've worked in any medium-sized to large-sized firm, getting shit into a production device...
Or getting stuff out of a production device that's already gone to production.
Yeah. There should be some checks and balances through there.
Anyway, so they were also gathering, you know, whatever random bit of data was traversing the wireless network when they happened to drive past, which included sometimes bank account details and passwords and private information.
You're only getting fragments of data as you're driving past.
Of course you're getting fragments, and then they weren't doing anything with them. They were just kind of grabbing them, and then it sort of existed. But I don't see what the problem was. It's bizarre that they were doing it, and they shouldn't have been doing it. But when instead of just stopping grabbing that data, apparently they stopped building the SSID database.
Yeah, so they seem to overcompensate, didn't they? So the apology basically says they've stopped doing any Wi-Fi,
and we're very sorry, New Zealand, and we'll work with the Privacy Commissioner to go even further with making sure we respect user privacy. And
it's kind of a bit lame, isn't it? Because Germany got all up in arms. They did a big research thing. It looks like our Privacy Commissioner just said, "Oh, me too," you know, which I suppose you have to do, really, but.
So this other one happened in Germany. Germany was the one
that found out for some reason that it was actually happening.
Do you know what else happened in Germany, Ben?
The war.
Well, we must not mention the war, Ben. We probably do have German listeners, and I am sure that you had nothing to do with it, and neither did your Nazi father. But do you know what else has happened in Germany lately? A very angry father castrated her daughter's boyfriend.
I saw the headline for this.
The father.
I'm confused.
Her daughter's. His daughter.
His daughter. And how many beers have I had?
One.
Not enough. It's the heat. I haven't had dinner. Two. Don't blame me. I've had like 200 calories today.
Yeah.
Angry father castrates daughter's boyfriend.
What is
a father that is so angry that his 17-year-old daughter is dating this boy. Guess how old the boy was?
17?
40.
47.
Oh, no.
And
really?
So he's so angry.
Oh, Jesus.
So
no.
this angry father.
I would be too.
And two of his friends at the factory went and visited this. Oh, no, sorry.
Oh, my God.
Sorry, I said 47. 57. 57. These three men, the father and his friends, visited this man, forced him to take off his trousers.
Oh,
and
no,
then
can I
while,
read the quote?
All right, read the quote.
The man was forced to remove his trousers and, fully conscious, he was castrated, police said.
The severed testicles were taken away by the perpetrator.
This is the kind of news story that is only of interest to men. I mean, really? It's like this to me is if you said a man castrated a sheep or a dog, it would be like, okay, that's gross, but big deal. Whereas with somehow I don't get it because I don't have balls, but,
but neither does
guys
he.
Are like, ah! And I'm just like, yeah, whatever.
Well, maybe, okay, what about if he cut all his fingers off and took them away? How would you feel about that?
It's unfortunate, but I would not be going, oh, he cut his fingers off. Oh.
What's the equivalent then in female land?
But we weren't saying that. We were laughing about it and wincing a little bit. But
that wincy thing, though, I don't get that. I genuinely don't get it.
Have you ever been punched in the tits, Robin?
No, and it wouldn't hurt like that. It would be like being just punched in the chest.
Some women disagree.
But it's like having a major gland removed, a pituitary gland or anything else that as well. It changes your
Here's another quote from this father. I received a phone call anonymously that my daughter was involved with a guy 40 years older than her. You said you couldn't stop him. This is the police he was talking about. You said you couldn't stop him, so I did. I saw it as my duty as a father.
I've always joked that since having a daughter, I need to get a gun license and a shotgun because. My biggest fear.
You shouldn't
in life,
have said that out loud. Now you're no longer a candidate for having a gun license in New Zealand.
Really?
Yeah.
Bugger. my greatest fear in life actually is opening the door. I almost look forward in a kind of daydream state, opening the door and seeing a 15-year-old, 16-year-old, 17-year-old boy standing at that door.
Is it terrifying him?
Well, no, just seeing him and then being sort of in some sort of movie device, swiveling around and looking out of his eyes and thinking, I know exactly what is going through your brain right now.
Yeah,
you're here in your suit to pick up my daughter for the ball,
and later on you're going to finger her.
Exactly, it's exactly what's going through your mind right at the second. You little fucking shit! I don't know how I'm going to cope with that as a father.
You know what you do? You raise her right. You treat her to have teach her to have self respect, and you set good examples for her, and then you know that when the boy takes her to the ball that. She is going to look after herself.
But when the fingering goes on, yeah, she's going to know when to stop. Because the fingering will happen, I mean.
As soon as she comes.
Exactly.
When else would you want to stop? And if he can't make her come, he's done. Break up.
Move
find
on,
another boy.
Move on.
Can I just say
find a girl.
To Ben's daughter, if you ever listen to this when you're a bit older, these guys are just talking shit.
We're talking about a hypothetical his child.
Yes.
Okay.
Hypothetical. Did I go there?
Next story. Oh, actually, this is a really positive story for little girls. Little girls who have been told for a long time that boys are the ones who are good at maths and physics.
Have they?
I think they have. By me. Also, they can't cook. And show me those tits right now, or else. I might reintroduce this story because we seem to have lost a lot of momentum.
I'm trying to formulate my response because I disagree wholeheartedly with it.
You don't think that girls have ever told that they aren't as good at maths and physics?
Possibly, but what my issue with the story is that
All right, I'll tell you what the story is. The story is that there is a gap in the academic performance of girls in terms of their grades. In particular, maths and physics classes,
completely outweighed by their overall performance in everything else. Okay. Girls outperform boys massively in every other subject, or pretty much every subject. I'm surprised that they actually don't.
I think that's because the education system is designed by women.
Yeah, probably, and it's also the education system doesn't know how.
Men
to.
And women don't think the same way, and yes. One person another boy to boy, and girl to girl, and boy to girl.
And men don't
learn the same way either.
And for same reason, men don't want to be teachers as well. For some, I'm not sure why. possibly an income gap issue, but
if men were teachers, the income gap would be gone. The reality is that teachers aren't paid that poorly anymore.
So I'm interested by your story, and I'm interested that
the story is that this gap can be closed very rapidly by simply getting the girls or young women to engage in an affirming essay task, which is writing about girls being as good at maths and physics as boys. And as soon as they engage in this essay, suddenly their performance jumps up from an average C grade to an average B grade just because they write this essay.
That's really interesting.
Suddenly their maths and physics get better.
It's really cool. It's really interesting.
Does it work for other subjects, though? Can a boy go, I'm really good at home ec, and we'll whip up a fantastic pair?
Or I'm really good at English, and I'm good at economics, and I'm good at every other subject that boys are worse at maths at than girls. I'd be a bit lovely if that was the case.
It's very easy to affirm boys' skills at home ec, given that all the best chefs in the entire world are men.
That's true.
But you know,
but is it, Robin? I got that one over on you very easily.
There are chefs. Some good female chefs out there, but home ec is more than just cooking. It is about the economics of the home. It's about things like budgeting, meal planning.
Is it really, though? Because I just remember making scotch eggs and so on. God, I love making scotch eggs.
Did you do it at high school, though?
Or no, I did it intermediate. Intermediate.
Yeah, high school home eggs a bit different.
What is a scotch egg?
It's a sausage. The real deal.
It's basically a boiled egg inside sausage meat. Awesome. With a bit of, I think it had a little bit of breadcrumbs on the outside.
That's awesome.
It was so good.
But the whole boy-girl education thing does my head in, because there's nothing that's proved as to why, but basically in the current education system, girls massively outperform boys without any help.
I know that was definitely true of me.
So kind of reading the story, it's like really cool, but fucking hell.
I was very bad at school, so I'm probably a terrible example. I'm quite naughty. It might be hard to believe, but I don't take information given to me at face value. I'm quite cynical, and I will question things. And I have, for a long time, I've kind of questioned any authority that people claim to have over me. And if you do that to a teacher, she'll have a tendency just to kick you out of the class rather than answer your questions.
We had an interesting one this year because.
And I'm extraordinarily clever, and I was very bad at school.
I was an incredibly good boy at school, but I always, and I believe I completely underachieved my potential. I didn't work as hard as I could have, you know. But interesting thing with our son this year in that he had a student teacher who was a cock. He was shouting at the kids and overreacting and this sort of stuff. And we actually had to go through with, this is kind of the first time we had to go through with the 6 year, 7 year old and say, actually, dude, teachers aren't always good. They don't always know what they're talking about. They're not always the person you should listen to.
Yeah, they're not necessarily smart.
They deserve respect because of their position and because they need to control the class. But
well, maybe for controlling the class, but not necessarily for their position. People only deserve respect because they're people. I think all people deserve, you know, a certain etiquette, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you should be polite to everyone.
Yeah, it got through to him because he came home in tears because basically he'd made some small mistake and got yelled at, which was just shocking. And we had to go through with him that night and said, it's not your fault. There's nothing you did wrong. You don't need to cry about it because he's really sensitive about being told off.
Yeah.
And it was a really interesting conversation.
Does that mean that you don't ever tell him off?
They haven't even needed to, really.
Yeah.
Because we just teach him about...
Does that mean your lax parents haven't prepared him for the real world?
Probably, who knows?
Just tell him off for anything.
Just slap him around.
Just prepare him. Yeah,
I don't know about slapping him around. I'm not sure if that's necessary.
No.
Just tell him he's a rubbish guitar player at Guitar Hero.
Just let Morgan loosen him.
I keep trying to get him to go up to medium level, but he won't. He's a better singer than his cousin, though.
I tell you what. I mean, I've enjoyed whiling away many hours on I don't mean Guitar Hero, I mean Rock Band, and it's good fun. But watching people who are not very good play Rock Band is just like, oh, fuck up. How about you play Pictionary instead? You fucking bastards! Put the microphone down. I can't hear you, if you're just making noises, just to make the arrow go up and down on the vocal meter, then you're not actually singing the fucking song.
You're right.
I can't sing and I can't draw, so even Pictionary's out.
You don't need to be able to draw, not really. Just a quick sketch.
Funny thing is, people who can draw are worse at Pictionary because they take so long agonizing over the drawings.
Yeah.
Try playing Pictionary with a cartoonist.
Right.
Not good.
No. I'm an absolute demon, but I need to have a good partner, which is difficult. You need someone who is prepared to keep guessing, even when they think they got it.
Yeah, they'll be on the same.
And you also need someone who can keep drawing as well, even though they think that they've already expressed the idea clearly.
Yes, yeah.
So as well as girls needing affirmation, there are other members of... This is a really weak segue. I'm just going to talk about the gays.
We need to back the gays.
Back the gays. Yay. So has everyone in the room been on an Air New Zealand flight in the last... I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah, I have watched the rugby safety video.
Yep. And did you see the bit where the very personable and quite he's a flaming queen, basically. He's an obvious happy gay flight attendant who presents the
blonde one.
The briefing. Yep.
Yeah.
And at one point, I think that there's a female attendant who gets a kiss on the cheek from one of the All Blacks who play the role of the passengers on the plane.
Right.
And then this obviously gay flight attendant puts his finger up and says, "Now give me a kiss on the cheek." And the All Black waves him off and kind of rolls his eyes and looks really uncomfortable.
I hadn't noticed it.
It doesn't match the humour of the rest of the video. No. And it makes this All Black look like he is very insecure about his sexuality. It doesn't stop me from being straight to give one of my male friends a kiss.
No. I think that would have been a better call to follow through with a kiss just for...
I think it should have. It was never a good joke, and it always made me think, what are they saying with this?
It's interesting. It passed me by, and I feel kind of ashamed that it did. But,
And so that's Richard Kohui, the All Black.
Yeah.
Who knows if he was...
gay.
If he was instructed or directed to act in this way.
Gay? Has he got a girlfriend?
Richard Kohui? I don't know.
Yeah.
Who can say... but apparently there was some complaint about this segment in this video, and it's been pulled. And I think it's actually right that it was pulled because it was weird.
Yeah,
it was kind of weird and kind of homophobic in a really strange way.
That's on the same level as the Paul Henry comment. It's backing the kind of perceived status quo that this is an okay thing to do.
Yeah. No, I don't know. I don't know that a reasonable person, gay or straight, would have actually taken offence at it. But it was just didn't ring.
No.
It just didn't ring quite right. It just seemed strange. Now, I mean, I would have continued watching it and thinking, why do they have that in there happily for as long as they kept the video?
Yeah.
But it's good of them to respond to any complaint by pulling it.
It's nice that they are having someone who is obviously gay in a promotion like that.
Yeah, they're really breaking new ground for gays as airline attendants. That's never happened before.
But there's no sort of pretense that, oh, he's actually just a straight guy or anything
like
that.
He's just really happy.
This is quite cool. I'm looking at the staff article on it, and Wellington Central MP Grant Robertson, who plays rugby.
Oh, right.
In fact, he was a...
Isn't he a gay?
Oh, my God, looking at the still shot from it, it's horrible.
I should have noted that too, because that's why the whole rugby playing thing. He was actually in a gay rugby team a few years ago. But he...
A gay rugby team. Can you imagine the fun they would have had? That'd be awesome. That'd be like me being on a team with all women. And that would be... I mean, that would be brilliant.
You would love
that. I wouldn't necessarily have sex with all of them, but it'd be great.
You don't think...
Or any.
Keeping the eye on the ball, not the balls. You would just like to be in the shower rooms.
It's interesting, though, the quote from the...
shower room afterwards.
The quote from the guy in the video. Have you read that?
No.
The quote from the flight attendant saying, "I'm proud to be gay, proud to be an Air New Zealander, and extremely proud of my role in the safety video."
Is that his ethnicity, Air New Zealander?
Yeah, obviously, he's obviously a real Air New Zealander. Obviously, there are some people in the gay community that can be a little precious and need to lighten up.
And I think he's probably right about that, but...
This is, again, it comes back, I don't want to keep harping on, but it comes back to the Paul Henry scenario where in any other situation, in a kind of a day-to-day situation, it's probably okay, but in a situation where they're representing a national airline and they're coming from a platform of publicity, I think they need to be a bit more careful about it.
Mm.
Because you think visiting gay tourists would look at it and go, "What the fuck?"
Or if you're on an aeroplane, you're watching it, and the person in the row behind you goes, "Oh, bloody poofter," you know.
You know that you need to put your seat back as far as it can.
Yeah. And immediately. And hard.
Yeah. And repeatedly. Do you know where it would be even worse to be gay? Oh, lots of places. Probably Iran. But do you know one place where it's not ideal to be gay? I'll tell you where. And that's the Czech Republic, if you're a gay man who's seeking asylum.
Why would you seek asylum in the Czech Republic?
It seems strange, doesn't it? It seems strange. Well, I guess if you're in a real stink country, then you know, almost anywhere seems better. But they require that men who self-identify as gay are hooked up to a device called a penile plethysmograph, which is this little sensor that wraps around your penis, and then they're shown various gay pornography. This and how much of a sexual response in terms of, you know, swelling, engorgement.
So by
if you get a big soft
at
the wrong gay porn, you are decided to be the wrong kind of gay.
And they deny you asylum?
Apparently.
So bi's are gone as well?
I don't know if you have to not be gay, if you have to not be the right kind of gay.
Right, if you get a hat on everything, they'll let you in. There's the dogs, there's the whatever.
Yeah.
Tentacle rape.
And so I think, is Czech Republic a member of the EU? Fucking everyone's a member of the EU now.
Yeah, it's gone.
Anyway, the EU have said, you have got to be fucking kidding me. Stop doing that, you dickheads.
Absolutely.
But at least one Czech official responded by saying that it's okay to do this because they self-identified as gay. So why not see what kind of gay they are?
Do tell, do test.
It's really weird. So, I mean, there must be more to this story, but, you know, I can't read 15 pages on one story.
Well, are they looking at degrees of gayness? Because if someone said, I'm gay...
then they're gay.
Yeah. Are they gay,
but I don't get a hat on it at twinks. It's only beers that do it for me.
Can you stop talking over each other, Ben?
Robin, carry on.
But what I was going to say is I think I've read something about those gayometer things and anything that they attach to the genitals. I mean, you might find the idea of someone putting things on your bits to be quite exciting, or exactly. Just the tension of the situation, you may find that arousing. So it doesn't really, it's not very accurate. But then I think we knew that.
It's not very accurate at all. And there are some people who object to viewing pornography in any form, never mind whether they have a device attached to their flaccid penis, presumably.
I'm trying to understand what it has to do with being with the seeking asylum anyway.
I don't think it has anything to do with that. I suspect that actually the greater story is that any gays will be rejected, and they just do this test to confirm if you're gay at all.
Does this mean that
But it's just
women,
bizarre.
Does this mean that women aren't... lesbians are not gay? Do they have an equivalent for females?
Well, the only test I've seen for women that is equivalent to this is actually, it's basically a camera which is inserted into the vagina, and it measures reflectivity of the vaginal wall. And so when the internal lubricant is, you know, expressed, it becomes shinier. But this test would be almost impossible to use because this lubricant is produced even when watching stuff that clearly doesn't actually arouse the woman in question, not consciously. Fat men doing jumping jacks or like animals having sex all sorts of things. There's a survey a while ago that found that the women's sexual response, they actually become physically aroused, if not, you know, kind of emotionally aroused to all kinds of material that they aren't actually interested in. So I don't know that there's any real equivalent test. Not that it would have any accuracy. And I think this test probably doesn't have any accuracy anyway. I don't know if you've spent much time with a penis, Mark, but I've had occasion to observe one anyway, and I've noticed that it moves around quite a lot of its own accord. And, you know, temperature variations can make a lot of interesting things happen. So I think that this test is bullshit, and the Czech Republic should stop being homophobic crybabies. And they should listen to the European Union's human rights agency that says, fucking stop it, you dickheads.
Yeah. Well, it's good that your data's not in the Czech Republic as well, given that they're gay haters. Because you wouldn't want to save your accounting data to somewhere like that as well.
No, I wouldn't want to do that. and
there's two reasons why you wouldn't. Not only because you wouldn't want to put your data in a country that hates gays, but also because the IRD would say, don't put your data in any other country anyway.
Why would they say that?
They've just issued a rule, an opinion. So in the law, the tax and bookkeeping laws. So it's not just accounting data, it's also data about basically anything that that brought rise to a financial transaction. It says that you must keep records in English in New Zealand.
Yep, I knew that.
Because they should be able to subpoena them or whatever they do when, yep, they, when they have an investigation. So they've issued an opinion to say that this new jazzy cloud computing stuff, that, God, doesn't the term cloud just really piss you off? It's just...
It does not
servers,
piss me off.
Servers and data centers. It,
do you remember
it rises.
Internet Superhighway?
That's right.
How about some cyber web surfing, Ben?
The funny thing is that the
are you a cloud hacker?
The etymology of cloud is simply because all of the diagrams that all the architects draw about how this stuff's going to work, they used to have a cloud, or they still do have a cloud that represents the internet. And now they're saying, well, all your servers are on the internet, so therefore they're called the cloud. Anyway, IRD issued an opinion, which isn't a ruling. It's an opinion where they've said, this is the way we feel at the moment. We may change given discussion. But their opinion is, your accounting data must be on a server in New Zealand. So Xero, for example, XERO, the cloud accounting people,
yep,
their servers are hosted by Rackspace in the USA.
Right.
Which... We'll talk about
that's that. Not very loyal of them, is
we'll,
it?
We'll talk about that later, because there's also the issue of the fact
that
the USA has crap laws on privacy and data protection. Yeah. Anyway.
I think that'd be enough to stop me from using Xero.
Yeah, it's interesting, isn't it? And basically now IRD is saying it's effectively illegal.
Right.
Because I guess the main reasoning is they have some pretty draconian document search and seizure laws. Yeah. IRD can basically say, give us your documents under
it's not draconian. These are reasonable terms that we signed up to.
The interesting thing with the IRD's laws, though, as far as I know, they don't really have to give due cause. They just simply say, we want to see all your documents, and yeah, you have to produce them.
Well, I don't know. I agreed to that when I formed a company.
I think so, yeah. And they
and I know that I have to keep those documents for 7 years.
Yeah.
Even I actually do, at the moment, still have a registered company, even though I'm not really doing anything with it. Probably have another one again quite soon.
Got to file a return.
Doing who knows what. I haven't filed a return in ages. I'm getting it. I'm getting it deregistered because it's just, I'm not doing anything with it anymore.
It's a hassle, is it? So, I guess I can understand them saying they can't really serve a subpoena on Rackspace because it's out of their jurisdiction. Mm. But it is interesting. And Xero has responded by saying, no big deal. We're talking to the IRD.
Well, they would say that, wouldn't
they? We're getting a ruling.
Don't be afraid. Don't run and hide. Well, I mean, that's very simple, because I'm sure that you can get a display of your current accounting information with Xero and just save it in a PDF or print it or
and
whatever.
This is my point as well. It's basically all the idea saying is you should be doing what everyone should be doing, which is lots of copies in lots of places.
Yep.
If you're using the cloud, fucking make sure you got a copy on your local disk as well.
Yep. Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. And that's simple, and that just seems like should be standard.
You know,
practice.
For stuff like the discourse show notes, if we suddenly lose our document servers, it's not a big deal. But if it was something a lot more important, I'd be saving it locally as well.
And there are backups, but the backups are in an overseas data center as well. So,
yeah.
But yes. Those show notes, they are an epic document of probably historical importance. I mean, there are going to be future generations of academic scholars combing through those show notes, wondering just what the hell was my major malfunction. And
your OCD.
Well, that might be their conclusion. You were going to say something there, Mark?
I was going to say, Xero's most likely got import and export tools.
They have export, right? They don't have import.
Well, they've recently...
They don't have import. They must have import.
You can import bank data, but they've said they don't... The point they made during this blog post is they don't do two-way sync, so you can't... you basically, if you downloaded a full copy of everything, you couldn't recreate it.
Not even via their API? I see.
Possibly.
Okay. Nerdy. I need the sound of a siren going off.
Someone said API. Is that like a
now, Mark? Feel free to you don't need to necessarily raise your hand, but if you have something to say, you can just kick in. I don't know what your podcasts are normally like, but
we just talk over each other. It's just
we just say what we like when we like.
It's
we've got no rules around here.
Yeah. You go, Robin.
Got no rules around here.
Yeah.
Screw you. Have you got any other stories, Ben?
I got a few other stories.
I've got a story about a golf cart.
I've got a story about a catch. We have the guest vote. Golf cart or cute cat story?
It's the internet.
I want to talk about Julian Assange's OK Cupid profile.
Okay, we can talk about that.
You want to talk about WikiLeaks?
No,
we're not talking about WikiLeaks. We're talking about Julian Assange, and that's not WikiLeaks.
Assange. Someone said the best thing about Julian Assange is he's finally made a rhyme with orange.
I don't think he has, because I think the name is from, people think it's French, but I think it's actually from Chinese, and I think the name is Arsang. That's why I say Arsang. I'm sure I read an article somewhere that said that. Everyone else in the world says Arsang.
Does his OkCupid profile explain how to pronounce his name?
No, his OkCupid profile doesn't include his name. He calls himself Harry Harrison.
Harry Harrison.
Oh, he was
science fiction author.
The Stainless Steel Rat.
Still is. Yep. Oh, and even better than that. I loved Stainless Steel Rat when I was young, though. I always thought that it'd be fun to have a company called Bishop so that I could have two business cards.
Stainless Steel Rat?
No, that's the one with the headless. What was that one called? That's not right. But it's the same author, but it's not the Stainless Steel Rat.
Yeah.
Stainless Steel Rat was the thief. He has on his self summary. Apparently, he's 6'2".
How does he know that this is his anonymous?
Because his pictures are all him. It's very clearly him.
Oh.
And he also talks about
it could be
involved in international journalism. And he also he talks about directing a human rights company and so on. Apparently, he wants women anywhere between 22 and 46, located anywhere.
This is the killer line. I like women from countries that have sustained political turmoil. Western culture seems to forge women that are valueless and inane.
That's you, Robin.
He also
that's me.
He also spends a lot of time thinking about chopping up human brains.
What?
Oh, and then in parentheses, neuroscience background.
Lol.
Oh, gee.
Lol.
I don't know, but I mean, even if I were gay, I don't think I'd be that keen on.
He's not gay. What are you talking about?
But he says, this is quite a nice line. Passionate and often pig-headed activist, intellectual, seeks siren for love affair, children, and occasional criminal conspiracy. Like, yeah.
Drinks socially, drugs never, condoms.
Really?
No, it doesn't say that.
The most private thing I'm willing to admit, I have Asian teen girl stalkers.
Right. Anyway, a very key factor on this OkCupid dating site profile is that he was last online January 1, 2007. This is very old.
Yeah.
I think it's definitely his own profile, though.
Interesting.
I'm not a match with him. I'm a bit disappointed about that.
Oh, why not? Oh, I think I might have OkCupid profile somewhere.
They have all these charts. I'm just contrasting my profile with his. I don't think I actually have a full profile. I think my profile is just for the purpose of stalking other people. So
maybe
that's why we don't match.
His photos are funny because they're so kind of dating site-ish. Like there's the crappy Mac, what's it called, photo booth? Where you look at your camera and then it applies shitty effects. There's like the crappy photo booth photos and webcam photos and posing photos and it kind of seems so dating site, just so kind of
it is very dating legit, site.
So kind of authentic, just like everyone. Yeah.
And then the one good photo that like a reporter took of you, a professional photographer that looks really good.
Yeah, I always use that one as my main photo on my dating profiles. More about that in the mailbag.
Yes, very much so.
So actually, one more thing. I don't really want to talk about WikiLeaks again this week because we're going to talk about it, you know, probably next time and then the time after and the time after, and everyone's going to get very tired about it. And Arsang is, as you pointed out last week, complete sideshow and irrelevant to the importance of the leaks.
This is the really interesting thing. The fact that we're talking about his OkCupid profile does piss me off a little bit.
Well, it's funny because it makes him human.
Yeah.
But whether he's human or not has nothing to do with WikiLeaks.
No, nothing at all. Nothing at all.
But something that does have to do with WikiLeaks is the mirror sites that sprang up after people started trying to take them down.
This is the classic Streisand effect, basically.
Absolutely, the Streisand effect. So as of the week before this exploded, there were 50 WikiLeaks mirror sites. As of right now, actually, I should probably get the latest number.
Isn't there an Android app where you can mirror WikiLeaks off your phone?
I have no idea.
You can download an Android app and it downloads most of the content and you can mirror it.
Not through Vodafone, probably not.
As of the time of recording, there are 1,885 mirrors.
That's so awesome.
Distributed all over the web. Now, these will not all be complete mirrors yet. Some of them might have never been. Some of them will be, of course, absolutely up to date. And some of the people that host some of these might get in trouble because some countries have really fucked laws.
Well, there was an interesting thing that in those New Zealand leaks that came out, which was interesting because they weren't, I don't know how they got hold of them. But in the New Zealand cables, there was one of the cables named the deputy director of the SIS, which by New Zealand law is illegal to do.
Right.
Mm.
Well, you wouldn't want to know who you're paying to do jobs, Ben.
No.
Why that needs to be a secret,
I don't know. Speaking of politicians,
Speaking of politicians?
Apparently, I just saw a couple of tweets about the debate in the House today that was to do with passing the holiday highway funding.
Yeah.
And, yeah, apparently Stephen Joyce has basically refused to do any maths.
Look, open letter to Stephen Joyce. Fuck you, you fucking prick. Regards, Morgan.
Any context to that, apart from the fact that he's just giving money away for...
Fuck him. he's a tool. He apparently just is so enamoured with New Zealand's
roads.
Dysfunctional car culture. I mean, Aucklanders have, I think, the second highest rate of car ownership in the entire world.
Well, it's because we've got such a huge population, Morgan, isn't it, really? To get people to move people around and make money and catch up with Australia.
The city of Kyoto population is 1.4 million.
Yep.
They have two subway lines and also rail lines and lots of cycling. Now, their population density is admittedly higher. Our greater Auckland area is really big.
Yeah. But that's a legacy of fucked planning as well, isn't it, really?
Absolutely. And if we started to build, more comprehensive public transport lines, population would move to cluster around the easier access routes.
Well, I mean, this is the funny thing, isn't it? Because the research has been done, the maths has been done that shows the return on the subway type approach is massively more than the return on a holiday highway.
And the holiday highway, the legitimate original return on investment calculation said that it returned something like 30 cents on every dollar invested.
It's a negative investment. But hey, can't we
not
have,
just negative. But
can't we have both?
No, we can't have both. But we could have had both if the ARTA financing that was set up by the previous Labor government had not been rolled back by the new national government, the current national government, not very new now. Because that would have funded Auckland's public transport needs.
Yeah,
long term.
The thing
it was a fuel tax. It was a simple fuel tax. No one would have noticed. Yeah. After a week after it came into effect, no one would have noticed it, and it would have provided hundreds of millions of dollars a year for public transport.
Absolutely,
construction.
And it was obvious that we talked about this before. But traffic use changes when the price of petrol goes up, all that sort of stuff. But the thing is, I don't know if it's the different. If it's just the it's kind of an echo chamber thing. The people you follow on Twitter are similar to you, but also politicians are tweeting more, and I'm reading more into what's happening around question time. Is it just me, or has it got massively more infantile recently? It just seems that question time, I mean, I know it's always been stupid, but some of the stuff that's going on, like that speech by the ACT politician to back
the 17-second speech?
Yeah.
It
just...
That was bizarre.
It's stupid.
I think it's just that we're seeing... actually...
Is this, yeah, like...
What? Yeah. I've just had this idea. What it might be is that with MMP, in the past, if you wanted to get elected as an electorate politician,
you had to be
someone who could get out there and be sort of a people person and talk and give speeches. Whereas on the List MP, you don't necessarily have to have that gift for oratory.
Yeah.
So you get these people that come in and they can just be verbal dicks. And then they find themselves giving speeches and just saying and doing bizarre things.
Yeah. It's interesting, eh? It is one thing someone said to me about Winston Peters is that he's kind of one of the almost last great political statesman type people. Say what you will about his politics, but apparently he's awesome in the House.
Yeah.
For
a while I also respected Rodney Hyde for his kind of his skillful weaseling, his greasy little toady evasion of any really simple and direct question.
Yeah.
He was actually quite skillful at it, but he's just gone beyond any kind of joke now. He's just like a screaming baboon, frankly.
Parody of himself.
He is ridiculous. He is the worst kind of politician. But you're quite right about Winston Peters.
Being completely, all...
He was also racist, though.
Being equal opportunity haters.
Yeah.
Phil Goff is a useless, nothing, wet blanket.
Phil Goff is a wet fart.
Yeah.
And thankfully there are a couple of replacements. One person that I thought seemed like she had quite a promising future was Jacinda Ardern, who is Labour's moderately attractive young female member for like Palmerston North or somewhere.
Yeah, wasn't she the regular on Breakfast? One of the regulars on Breakfast?
I don't know if she was or not. I can't say I watch a lot of television in the morning, given that I'm generally asleep.
She was on Good Morning recently, with Asta.
She's medium-length brown hair. I think they basically had regular appearances. Speaking of Breakfast, Paul Henry's the most exciting internet celebrity in New Zealand this year.
I didn't know that. Actually, that's not really very hard to believe.
He was apparently either the second or third most searched celebrity after Bieber, probably.
In New Zealand, in total. Far out.
And his...
Because I search for Bieber a lot.
Lesbians that look like Bieber, you mean?
Bieberians. I love that site so much.
Is it searches or just views? Because I don't know a lot of people who view his vitriol and his hate. Yeah. Just because they don't like him and they just keep seeing those videos.
I think searches and also the his People's Choice Award thank you video was the most viewed YouTube video in New Zealand. Above all Bieber.
I'm not surprised. That video was brilliant. His acceptance speech was a work of absolute genius.
Yeah, I was
highly impressed by it.
Yeah.
And that's why I wouldn't be surprised if we see him hosting another TV show quite soon.
Yeah.
I think that, you know, once the dust is settled, I wouldn't be surprised if he was on hosting... who's the guy with the walrus moustache? The kind of the fat guy?
Sainsbury.
Yeah, I think he's going to be out the door, and I think he's going to be replaced.
Yeah. He did a good job in his own close-up as well. I think I've said it before, haven't I? I'm surprised that he actually left.
Yeah. He'll be back. He'll be back. Is he still on the radio?
No, he's not, but there's a rumour that because the Radio Live morning host has resigned or been made redundant.
Right, so he might be taking that job.
That's the rumour that there's an opening there.
Right.
Yeah.
So I mentioned Jacinda Ardern briefly.
Yes.
I was impressed by her until she just bought into this ridiculous thing. This is about the cyclist safety thing that exploded a week or two ago. Hopefully we can have someone on to speak about that because we had a bit of trouble getting our guests on. There was just like a planetary alignment thing this week. But
yeah, I'm closely related to one of the guys that
that makes it seem less impressive if we get them on.
Put together the protest.
Yeah. Full disclosure, we're only talking to my mum and my brother from now on. I hope everyone finds him really enthralling. So anyway, Jacinda Ardern says on Twitter, what are your tips for cyclists to improve safety on the roads?
Yes.
Which gets it fundamentally wrong because, as we know, it hasn't been the cyclists at fault.
No,
it's the drivers who are at fault. The problem is that we need to fix New Zealand drivers.
Yeah.
And I think that requires decades-long social engineering, the same as we've had with drunk driving.
Either that or
we need to make them patient and we need to improve.
Or a Big Bang approach, which will never happen, right? Like changing it to the laws like they are in Holland, which is...
drivers always at fault?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that will never pass. I mean, the government would be voted out, you know, chucked out.
No, they wouldn't.
Before they tried to pass it.
No, they wouldn't. That'd be brilliant. Especially once the petrol starts to rise a bit more again. Yeah. And once it's only the elite that drive cars too fast.
Yeah.
And the particularly stupid people who don't vote.
People use that already
anyway.
As well, because everyone knows that basically if you rear-end someone, you are at fault regardless of what's going on. You know, even if they seem to have stopped irrationally, you still shouldn't rear-end them. It's the same. It's to me that,
and it's the same on the water. Yeah. If you are in a motor-powered vessel, you have to give way to sail-powered vessels. Do the same thing on the road.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, that still allows, I think it has to still allow room for a judge to say, you were doing a wheelie across a main road, you are at fault. But I think that the starting assumption should be the cyclists are vulnerable and need to be protected.
Yeah.
And if we say that the assumption is that you're at fault if you hit them, then that kind of gives them some protection.
Yeah, I think someone else made a good point on Twitter recently as well that apparently people are angry at Lycra wearing cyclists because, you know, they're
right. Why? Why are you angry at those people?
Are you more likely to run into a guy with an HSV badge on his Holden?
They're probably more likely to run into me because I bet they're more likely to drive too fast. I'm not going to run into anyone.
Yeah,
I drive often on the motorway under the speed limit.
Do you know what? Ever since...
Not 10k over, but 5k under.
Since the recent rash of cyclist deaths, I've actually modified my driving behaviour because I've realised that unconsciously I'm just another Kiwi driver. I want to be in the fast lane.
Yep, we all are. And I think that's something that we can change.
And I am changing because I think, no, why? 2 minutes, 5 minutes? Who really goes to
0 minutes.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
How often has someone hauled ass past you, done some dangerous overtaking maneuver, and then you were directly alongside them in the next lights?
Yeah, exactly.
So what was the point of that dangerous driving? There was never any point to that dangerous driving.
No, putting yourself at risk and that's it. Yeah.
And putting everyone else on the road at the risk as well.
There's another rule that they should bring
it's
in,
very
which is
rude.
The UK rule of no undertaking. That we should implement that as well.
Do you think so?
I think so. Because it
keeps people on the left safer, I guess.
Yeah.
Have you ever watched the Gumball Rally? The Gumball 3000 documentaries?
I think I've watched various ones of them, yeah.
Yeah, that takes it to the ultimate extreme, but I can only... I mean, I just... You know, with people overtaking on the hard shoulder and so on. Which is something that does happen here because New Zealand drivers are so fucking insane.
Yeah.
That New Zealand drivers are just... just
you can guarantee,
just
right,
so
if you go
bad.
Away on a holiday or go away on any decent long drive, you will see at least one, two, three people
do just something
doing dick
outrageously
moves.
Dangerous
dick moves. Yeah.
For no apparent reason, other than that they're just really aggressive and don't really give a shit about the other people on the road.
Yeah.
And I think this is kind of universally true, so I don't know why it's so bad for New Zealand drivers, apparently so bad for New Zealand drivers. People think that they're in a private space when they're on public roads because they're in a car, because they're in what feels like, you know, their possession, their home, because they're in this little acoustically dampened space playing their own music in a comfortable armchair with cup holders, and maybe they eat in
there. There was some Mercedes or Volvo research about they modified one of their cars so that it had a spiky steering wheel, and the faster you went, the spikier the steering wheel got.
Ooh,
and
nice.
And the, when you reached down for the gear stick, it vibrated and all sorts of things like that.
Yeah.
And it completely changed people's driving habits because it's almost the opposite. Like if you go really fast on an autobahn, it's more comfortable than driving around town in modern cars, which is totally incorrect.
Yeah, I think that there's a lot that needs to be done. The cyclists aren't the problem. I think we're going to have more and more cyclists. Auckland cyclists, I know that there's some drive to not call them cyclists, but you know, when we're talking about a group, we have to call them cyclists. Auckland has cycled less than any other major city in New Zealand, is that right?
There was actually a survey that was just released this morning. IBM did a survey of people. It's an international one where they look at transport patterns of major cities, and Auckland, Wellington, Christchurch. We'll just talk about Auckland and Wellington. Commuters who are dependent on a car for travel, Wellington 50%, Auckland 74%.
Isn't that outrageous?
And talking about things like stress, and you know, Aucklanders are more stressed in their commute. So you know, but that's a big difference, 50% and 74%.
It's a huge difference.
More cycle lanes, more trains, more subways, more buses,
more light rail,
less cars.
Actually, cycle lanes.
Yeah,
like along Tamaki Drive, the cycle lane,
not a shared space,
is kind of a shared space where you've got traffic lights,
right,
road signs that you need to swerve on and off.
Some of the responses to that to Jacinda's tweet as well are things like, if there's a cycle lane, then fucking stay in it.
Yeah.
My response to that is, if there's a vehicle lane, then fucking stay in it.
Yeah, seriously.
How many car drivers stay in their lane?
If there's a speed limit, stay under it.
Exactly. It's like this reaction.
If you're going to turn, indicate.
The cyclist must obey every single rule of the road.
You
all
first,
the time.
Asshole.
Exactly.
How about you and your 1,500 kilo death machine also obey the rules of the road? A cyclist is never going to hurt you, but you can very easily kill a cyclist just through the slightest inattention.
I'm angry. Let's talk about cats.
Okay, let's talk about cats.
Have you read the story of Detective Squeaky?
I don't have any idea about Detective Squeaky.
Detective Squeaky.
Is this... Oh, okay. It was a rhetorical question. I was going to try and come up with an answer, but fine.
It's a beautiful story.
Do you want me to load it? Or will it ruin the...
It's a long story, so I'll summarize it for you. Wellington, a house with two cats got burgled. And they took They took a whole lot of stuff. They took... TVs and other gear.
Laptops and cameras.
Laptops, backpacks to carry the laptops, and the guy's last bottle of V. Took his last bottle of V from
his
the fridge.
His last bottle of V?
I don't drink V, but this guy's
what
a V
kind
drink,
of a monster?
Drinker. So he called the police. The police came around, couldn't get any prints or anything. And so they got nothing. But then the guy thought, well, look, what I'm going to do is I'm going to just walk around the block, because they were carrying a lot of stuff in our backpacks, so they probably just parked under a bush somewhere. So I'm going to walk around the block and see what I can find. And he was wandering around, couldn't see anything, but then he spotted Squeaky, his cat Squeaky, who isn't as prone to wandering. And there's a picture on the site of Squeaky standing down in some bushes, and just near Squeaky is a bottle of V. And so,
oh my God.
So Detective Squeaky, now calls him the cat, had gone down and found a bottle of V, which, I don't know, maybe the cat was used to the smell of V or something like that. So he went down, told the police. The police came, got the bottle of V, got DNA evidence off the bottle of V, and prosecuted the burglars. But
oh my God!
Yes, who gets DNA evidence matched?
These photos, if these photos are legit. Now this might just be marketing
campaign.
Well,
the thing is,
I've known Richard for about seven or eight.
You know the guy?
Wow!
I've known Richard via IRC.
This is someone you know.
Signed up.
Why aren't we talking to him?
We've got a guest on Discourse.
So on the line we have Richard Clark, Wellington coder and cat fancier and V drinker, from who is curator of detectivesqueaky.co.nz. How's things, Richard?
It's not too bad. I mean, it's a little crazy at the moment because we're kind of like he went missing a while ago, and initially, of course, we were looking every day and desperately printing out things and stuff.
Yeah.
And, posting leaflets, and then for a while you just sit back and you think, well, what more can I do? Hopefully it'll just come back. You know, cats go away sometimes for a week or two, but it got to the point where we were like, well, we've got to do something else. And me being, as they say, a coder, this is about all I can think of. Whenever I run out of ideas, I turn to the internet. So
the site is quite new then.
Yes, absolutely. The site is new. We've had the story around for a while. We obviously, like I told most of my friends, because it's a cool tale with the cat kind of catching the criminal and all of that.
Definitely, it's amazing.
But we held off kind of putting that out there until the police had done all their thing and stuff, because I didn't want to end up getting on the wrong side of a judge or anything. No, like
that. The DNA match is absolutely bizarre, incredible, like you say. How often does that happen?
I know, I have no idea, but I tell you what, the police guy was a cross between ecstatic and just disbelieving, really? Like, honestly.
It's quite nice to know, because you often think they just wouldn't bother, because they'd say, no, it's such a long shot, let's not bother, but they obviously, they do.
Wellington's got his
Poor Constable, he's great, but when he went away from here, he said, you know, we'll take the DNA and we'll go and I'll put it on the list and see if we can get it tested. He didn't sound confident at all that it would even get into the system. And then all of a sudden, this just happened. It was amazing.
Crazy.
Even though I think that we in New Zealand invented a groundbreaking, more sensitive technology for doing DNA tests, and faster as well. I think it's possible that we still send away a lot of our samples for testing to fucking Australia.
Yeah. So how long did it take to get the DNA sample back from when you sent it off?
I think that'll be telling the police. Sarah's saying it was only a few days, actually, before they actually came back. It seemed very quick.
So this must mean that they're actually using the DNA database that they've been surreptitiously building over the last decade or so.
Yeah.
Yes.
So obviously the poor burglar must have committed a previous crime and submitted his...
Do you have any idea about his previous crimes? If he was in the DNA database, that might mean that he's a raper. No. Or has done something quite serious.
No, didn't the law change that they can take it off anyone now?
Even burglars? But how? That wasn't that long ago, was it? Anyway, this is a sidetrack.
Well, burglary is quite a serious crime.
Robbery. Just done burglary.
Robbery is a very serious crime. Burglary is not such a serious
crime. So we hadn't actually gotten to the point in the story where the cat turned up missing. I'd only been told about the incredible dog-like skills of your cat.
Right.
So I'm really sorry. I'm really sorry to hear that he's away, but I'm sure he'll turn up.
How soon after the event did he go missing?
Oh, it was
like immediately.
6 years, completely unrelated. It wasn't even V. Do you remember a drink in the 80s called Mellow Yellow?
Yeah,
it was actually Mellow Yellow. It wasn't even a DNA test, to be honest. There was no such thing at the time.
No, he went missing, ironically, within about a week of the guy pleading guilty, which caused all kinds of conspiracy theories around here until we thought that perhaps that was a long shot.
It does seem like a long shot. You hope it is. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So obviously the cat wasn't disturbed by the actual burglary and then ran away, but yeah.
No. In fact, I think it would take a lot to disturb that cat. I'm not sure he'd notice if the house fell down around him.
Also, I have an apology to make to you. For a moment when the story first was brought to my attention by television's Benedict Gracewood, I thought that it probably was a viral campaign for V. But I
it would have been a very good one.
It would have been a good one, and I believe that it's not that, and I apologize for being so cynical.
No, that's completely all right. I mean, in a sense, my blood is mostly V anyway, but it's not a commercial concern anyway. I'm just trying to get my cat back.
Well, if there's any consolation, I remember when I was a child, we had a cat called Dunno, because we didn't know
Dunno.
It was, what's his name? Dunno.
Dunno.
Who went missing for probably upwards of 18 months.
18
and
months,
when he finally, he turned up, we put a note on his collar saying, this is our cat, you know, if you're feeding him, can you please tell us? And then we got a call the next day from a lovely old lady saying, oh, he was just lonely and he turned up on my doorstep, so I gave him some veal.
And
the cat went,
and he never came back.
Exactly.
And locked him in my living room with my other 17 cats. Yeah, so probably a very nice old lady is taking care of Detective Squeaky.
You'd hope so.
Well, here's hoping. He is hoping, that's for sure.
Do you call him Detective Squeaky, or do you just call him Squeaky?
We just call him Squeaky in general, although if he does something particularly smart, he gains various honorifics.
Right. Dr. Squeaky?
Yeah, Dr. Squeaky, Detective Squeaky.
Reverend Cat, Squeaky?
And Cat, various things.
Right, yeah.
I think you should put Squeaky on Twitter.
Well, like Sockington.
Maybe like Sockington, but basically just saying at's like, I'm not sure where I am. I don't recognize this place. Who are these people around me? Do you know who they are?
So in case viewers are out there and see a cat, approximately what part of Wellington did he go missing in?
Okay, so he went missing in Mount Cook in Wellington. Just in case this is the only part you hear about it, he's a large, fluffy, black and white male Siberian cat. He's about 6 or 7 kgs, so whoever took him didn't carry him very far. And he is neutered and he has a microchip, but he doesn't have a collar on.
Well, collars can be quite dangerous for cats, can't they?
Yeah.
And I think that cat
managed to get rid of about 3, so we gave up.
Right.
I think they're adept at that as well. I think that there are lots of excuses for having a naked cat. Yeah, it was funny up here in Studio One, because I'm sure that in Studio Three, where Robin is recording,
Mountain Cook actually means something.
Her end of the show, Mountain Cook means something. But we all kind of looked at each other blankly and were like, "Is there such a suburb in Wellington? I've only heard of Wellington Boom. Central. Is that
and
one
there,
of the
there
huts?
Is actually no Mount Cook. It's quite a flat suburb.
Has it been quarried away?
It's ironic.
Like, something like that. I think it was they got some old prisoners chipped away at it like 100 years ago.
Because Three Kings is one hill and some holes.
Yes, some quarries.
That sort of situation, yeah.
I mean, and soon Three Kings will be like a pond and a hill. And it'll be like, I don't understand why this place is called Three Kings.
One Tree Hill is also
Is it something,
classic.
A pre-colonization thing? Or, I mean, pre-second colonization thing? Or?
Named after the Christmas miracle.
Hey, Richard, thank you so much for your time. You're welcome to stay on and talk about the rest of the stories, but we imagine you probably would like to get back
to your family and probably go to bed. Hopefully you haven't had too much meat.
We're just arguing about updates to the thing and whether we should really put our address on there or not. And I think we're coming down on the no side
of
things.
You could put the suburb in, I mean, unless you already have.
Well, we've actually our street is on there on the flyer, but that's as close as I think we're willing to get at this point. Although I'd cheerfully sacrifice privacy if I thought we'd get him back, but you never kind of know.
Yeah, people.
Thanks so much, guys.
That's all right. No, thank you. Yeah, you don't want to give your name out to burglars and their
friends.
Thanks
for coming on the show. And for whatever it's worth, we'll link up your site on our site as well. Yeah. And, you know, you never know what happens.
So it's discourse.co.nz if you're looking for this mysterious show.
It is
future.
The best podcast in New Zealand.
It is, for sure.
But also one of the smallest.
All right. Great. Thanks, guys.
Cool. See you, Richard.
Cheers.
Cheers.
Catch you later. Bye, Robin.
You're listening to Discourse.
Wow, that worked really well. I'm really, wasn't that brilliant? Yeah. That actually bodes well for something that maybe, let's say all of our news stories are done. Have you got any more that you want to talk about? Oh, I've got one more I want to talk about, and then we'll get back to that.
Okay.
We have spoken about the world's fastest lawnmower. We have spoken.
Not, but what?
Yes, a third fast slow vehicle. The world's fastest lawnmower, which didn't even go very fast, but could cut grass, as we now know.
Yes.
The world's fastest mobility scooter.
We talked about that.
Which had a little dirt bike engine in it. And now, how about, I don't actually think this is the world's fastest of these, but it is a very fast golf cart.
So this is the latest in the slow things made fast segment on Discourse.
Absolutely. And this this is an ordinary little Yamaha golf cart, and it's been given a 100 horsepower GSXR.
There's a lot of horsepower.
Yeah, Suzuki GSXR sport bike engine in it. And there's, we'll put this in the show notes, a video of it at a drag strip wheeling as it accelerates away from the start line. Now, it actually sounds to me, I mean, he talks about having put quite a cool little transmission into it, little CVT transmission, but it sounds like it's actually stuck in first gear all the way up the strip.
Well, no, that's what CVTs do. They max out the revs, and then this is car nerdery.
Yeah.
The size of the belt drive changes as
it's like a scooter. It's
as
like
the wheels speed up. Yep.
Yeah. So it sounds like shit. But maxing the revs, that can't be the most power efficient way to do it.
It'll max the torque band, all that sort of stuff. You basically put the power the engine into its best power torque band, and then you change the gear naturally as you go along.
Right. Anyway, this does that, and it sounds really unimpressive as it goes. I mean, what I hoped for was like but it doesn't do that.
Right.
Which may be inefficient because that but I mean, that presumably is a bit where there's no power being applied.
Yeah.
But.
After seeing the mobility scooter and the lawnmower, it sounds like the only sort of category is that it's got to be outwardly the same.
And I don't know that this really is outwardly the same. It looks it's got like mag wheels on it. Oh, one funny thing though, is in the photos, we'll put these in the show notes as well. In one of the photos, the guy driving this thing, he's got no seatbelt. He's wearing shorts.
Sitting on the bench seat of it.
Just
of
sitting on the
car.
Bench seat, riding one-handed with his arm up over the back of the thing, wearing a helmet. But, I mean, if he crashed, I mean, so he gets to be conscious while he smashes his body to pieces. In this incredibly fast go-kart. Apparently there's some kind of ongoing competition between these people, between some group of people to make quite fast go-karts. Anyway, I don't think this is a world record ever, but it's just another in the series. Do you know what else would be another in the series? Discourse Weekly Show Urban Dictionary Word of the Week!
Oh, God.
All right.
I hope this is offensive to Christians.
I'm scared.
Urban Dictionary Word of the Week.
Unbelievably offensive to Christians. And for that reason, I will be addressing it initially to Mark Derrickett, our guest in Studio One.
You knew this was coming while you were here.
Of course. This is why I came.
Right, good.
And the word, Mark, is mouse potato.
Mouse potato.
Shut up, Ben, it's not you. I'm absolutely certain that this week someone is going to get my word, but I'm always certain of that.
I'm just thinking small white poo.
Okay, that's your guess.
Yeah.
Alright, Robin Gallagher.
A small white poo.
I think it is when you are using a mouse, a computer mouse, and it is very grimy, and you get those little balls of kind of a mixture of sweat and dust and just gunk, and it gunks up your mouse. That's what a mouse
is such a disgusting thing. Yeah. There was a girl at iHug who was allegedly one of the web developer / designer people there in my team. And I thought that she was hot until I sat at her desk and used her mouse and discovered these kind of channels of grotesquery on either side of her mouse buttons. So in the middle of the mouse button was clean, but on either side, directly kind of in the shape of her fingers, was just these brown ridges of filth.
Awesome.
Yeah. So I'm thinking you probably could just about grow actual potatoes.
I actually know what this is.
Do you?
I know that the term's been used for and elsewhere.
Oh, well, bugger fuck.
It's basically a couch potato, but someone who spends all their time on a computer.
Exactly, Ben. You got one, Ben. Whee! This is so exciting. This is the first time that television's Benedict Gracewood has gotten a word of the week.
Yeah, I think I've seen it used in mainstream media, actually.
And I think this might be the 16th, 15th, 14th, 15th word. Question. Because we had four in episode four, and I think we've had a couple in other definitely. Episodes. So.
I'm happy. I got
one. Wow, Ben. Well done. So the definition, according to Urban Dictionary, is someone who spends all their time on the computer surfing on the net or playing games, similar to couch potato. And this has 6,405 upvotes and 913 downvotes.
It's quite a good term, really.
It's a great term. And I am a mouse potato.
Isn't that humanity these days?
Yeah, I'm afraid so. Yeah.
Apart from probably in Ethiopia or in third world countries. Now they just got one.
That might be true. Now, if only we could provide them enough food and water to drink and high quality education, they could actually enjoy their authentic lives away from fucking computers. I'm not saying that no one in Ethiopia has enough to eat or drink.
If we give them one laptop per child, then they can just be like little laptop potatoes.
Fucking one laptop per child. What talk about underperforming on your promise.
I mean, because they've had like three or four revisions now. So is that three laptops per child?
And some of the mock-ups that I've seen, there was one which had like a double touchscreen clamshell design.
Yeah.
No, so hot.
The new one's beautiful. The tablet, isn't it? that they're working on.
Is it?
Oh, it's a concept.
It's probably a good idea.
It's conceptual.
Yeah. It's probably a good idea, but I think that it should I guess keeping it simple is important, and if it's just a tablet, maybe it can even be waterproof. But, I mean, I feel like you've got to have a keyboard, really. One tablet per child. Probably you can keep them quite cheap. I mean, a lot of the shitty Android, you know, the Android 1.5 and 1.6 tablets are pretty cheap.
Just go to Dell Extreme and get a laptop from there per child.
A tablet.
Yeah.
Sorry, and be completely miserable with its awful performance and crappy apps.
And apparently they've all got the same MAC address. Have we mentioned that before?
No, we haven't mentioned
Apparently they're just complete. They're like OS, like...
Firmware
cloned.
Oh, crazy.
So they've all got the same MAC address.
Yeah. Oh, what garbage.
Yeah.
Those are terrible things. I think Google probably should have some kind of veto authority. Wouldn't that be nice? Wouldn't it be open though, would it?
No. Open's the most important thing of all, obviously.
I think that it's just about time...
Mailbag!
...to go to the mailbag. We've got more than one.
We've got a mailbag.
We've got a mailbag. Oh, my God, Ben!
Shuffle it around.
Can you believe it?
Dig in there.
I need to fake the sound of a mailbag.
Pick one out,
just dig... No, they're all good, Ben. I've read them. There are hundreds here. They're all so good. I'll just... select one at random on this computer screen.
We've got so much mail that we have to put it into a giant Perspex barrel as seen in 80s TV shows.
Yeah. a little door on it.
Roll it around. Yep.
So we've got a little poster from Timmy in Hastings.
you really stayed in the lines well, Timmy. Now the first one, let's see. This one is from Peter van der Werf. And I hope I pronounced your surname correctly. It might be Werf, but I'm sure it's Werf.
Surely.
Or something along those lines. Hey, guys, I'm just writing to let you know I love the podcast and look forward to listening to it every Thursday. I would recommend you don't bleep anything you don't legally have to. We all know what you're saying, so why not just say it? If you feel something is so inappropriate that another adult shouldn't hear it, then I guess you probably shouldn't say it. For me personally, I don't have any problems with hearing someone say words like fuck or cunt, especially when Robin says it. Robin? Robin?
I can't think well agree with that.
My favourite episode so far was the special edition you did with Bernard Hickey, and I would love to hear more interviews with such a refreshingly intelligent person. Parenthesis, I'm not saying you guys aren't or anything. I also enjoyed the interview with Thomas Scovell. He is a very interesting guy, if you can get him to talk, and since I was one of the developers who worked on the Down to the Wire project, it was great getting a bit more of background on it. Once again, thanks for the great show. Peter. Peter, thank you for the email.
Yes, so now I'm known as Sweary Girl. I'm never going to swear again on this podcast.
T. Robin, our senior Hamilton, correspondent.
From Hamilton.
Oh, I guess that's originally. True. I was going to say from Wellington. But. Anyway, so do we have anything to say about that? I'm probably not going to bleep words like fuck anymore. No. As you will have noticed last week, the only word that I bleeped was and I think I'm probably going to continue doing that with men, but women can say it. Just like if we had Flavor Flav on the show and he said nigger, then I probably wouldn't bleep that. No. But if I say nigger, I'm going to bleep that. Yeah. But why would I say we are very comfortable making fat jokes. Yes. But if we had some thin little shit on here making fat jokes, I still wouldn't bleep them, but I'd probably rip them a new skinny little asshole
for
them
in the face. Yeah.
So we have another mail in the mailbag there, one? Ben. Yeah, I think you should.
So another mailbag from Ian Randall. No idea who he is. But,
Ben, he's on Twitter. He's a good guy.
I know. Kiwi Pom on Twitter.
That was a little in-joke between you and Ian. Okay, but that's not... Our listeners don't necessarily know that. So they might think that, you know, okay, well, I write to Discourse and they'll be rude to me. I'm definitely going
to
do that.
Well, I mean, come on. If you wrote to Discourse, would you...
Hey, Ben.
Would you expect...
Ben, I've sidetracked you. Would you expect
us to be polite to you, honestly?
To me? I would expect people to be polite to me because I've got some kind of magical thinking.
I expected the host to respect my beliefs and not swear whilst here. Did I think it's honestly going to happen? No way, no fucking way. It's like,
oh
no!
I'm going to tell your pastor that you said the fuck word.
Okay, so you can go to church for the fuck word. You can go to church for me.
What are you trying to do?
Make it less bad than fucking.
The fucking word. You said the fucking word, Mike. Oh my God, you're going to hell with Satan. Satan, chicka chicka chicka. Satan, Satan, chicka chicka.
See, I'm going to keep doing that every now and then until you guys all join in and we can bust it out for a good minute and our audience will go, oh my God, what is happening? This is incredible. This is the best audio I've heard all year.
I'm okay with like
at least close your legs when you do that, please.
I make no promises.
With trance, but I can't do
Okay, that was really funny because it's very steamy and tropical hot here in Auckland. So I'm wearing a sarong. Yeah, well, you can call it lava. It's definitely a sarong, though, if you look at the if you look at the patterns on it. I did just raise my skirt. Benso was raising his hands, but kind of on the sides of his head and staring directly at my package.
I was motioning. I didn't want to, but I was making sure I was not a clear
Ben
view.
Was lining up the shot.
Did you sensually flash Ben?
Apparently.
I raped him.
Luckily, my... My screen's in the way.
So you were about to read later.
That I'd happily join in on a trance track, but yep. I can't think of anything other than exactly what you're saying. Jugga 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 jugga
Keep doing that. Oh my God, senior cultural commentator and Wellington correspondent Robin Gallagher, that was amazing.
Kumbaya, Dark Lord.
That's very good.
I started laughing just at the end, so I wasn't sure how it was going to turn out.
It was brilliant.
I put my mouth right up to the microphone.
So you're about to read another mouth.
Ian Randall said, he said, I am writing to highlight a continuity error in the tech podcast Discourse Weekly. Well, straight away, it's not a tech podcast.
It's a comedy show, isn't it?
It's a comedy show.
He continues.
It's a conversation.
In episode 4, the fictional character, quotes, Morgan Nickel, referred to an incident where he was chatting online to a young lady who invited him around to her place for who knows what kind of shenanigans. Then, in episode 5, the same character refers to his, air quotes, girlfriend. The Ben Gracewood character giggled incessantly through both stories, but in this character trait, at least, the writers have been consistent. Are we expected to believe that this shag-tastic hunk-a-chunk of burning love, this live-freely ne'er-do-well, has a, air quotes, better half? Where was she at the time of this internet-induced sexy-sexy bang-bang? Doing the laundry? No, we're not as gullible as you would have us believe. It may only be a comedy podcast, but you really do need to tighten up your storylines. So, yeah, what are we saying to Ian?
He actually finishes that off with hugs and kisses.
Yes.
Ian, hugs and kisses right back, buddy. Shagtastic is right. I'll tell you exactly what my quote, better half was doing. She was being happily married to her ex-husband at the time. That anecdote was actually a story from the past, as are all stories, kind of by definition.
There's no problem with continuity there.
There's no problem with continuity.
No.
Don't do linear narrative of this course.
No, this is all backwards. You'll understand when we get to next week's show, episode 9, we apologise in advance.
Corrections?
I would just like to say thank you to both Peter and Ian for writing in. And also, I'm sure there was another one. Why are we not reading the
was
other one?
Was there feedback as commentary?
Oh, well, there's been a lot on Twitter. Maybe we should have got the Twitter stuff together because that still is. I really like the emails because we can get much more of a nuanced.
Have you had any
feedback.
More audio feedback since the one that I sent in that
No,
one?
Would you like to leave one right now?
Hey, Morgan. It's been great. I've been on the show today, but the swearing, you know, I still take offense to that. So just fucking shut up, okay?
Thank you, Mark, for sending in your audio feedback. Yeah. I would just like to point out that in the background while you recorded it, there was actually a helicopter. Why didn't you retake that? I'm not clear.
Morgan, shut the fuck up. I'm still trying to leave my audio feedback.
My apologies, Mark. Please continue.
Okay. Now, this podcast is great, but...
I think that's New Zealand's best podcast.
I think you can stop right there. This podcast is great. Thank you, Mark. We really appreciate your feedback.
Android.
Oh, yes,
amazing.
Actually. Android. Yeah. Are you all right there, Ben? You just heard the word Android
I'm
at
fine.
Least three times.
I'm fine. I'm taken aback by your comments that I'm being irrational about it.
I would say that if I asked any of our mutual friends your position on Android, they would say, oh, my God, yeah, what's with that?
I think what I was saying before, you've never had anything
good to say about it.
No, I have.
It was massively overshadowed by nitpicking at trivial details.
Yeah, probably.
But the number of people I see on Twitter nitpicking trivially about iPads with them.
true.
Changing like the rotation lock and volume control.
Everything changes and everything is inconsistent.
Yeah.
Consistency. Now, who was it that said that consistency is the bugbear of the small-minded?
I think what I was saying to you before is holds true. Is that part of my problem is that I'm too lazy to write the in-depth posts that I want to write.
Yeah.
About why this bothers me.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's an opinion, so everyone's free to tell me to fuck off.
Yeah, totally just like fine. Everyone has an arsehole, everyone has an opinion.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So, yeah, what I should do is write up a very, very clear post about what bothers me. But the key thing about that bothers me is...
It's inconsistency,
is,
right?
Inconsistency bothers me. The other one that bothers me is people that say that UI doesn't matter and that the UI on Android is just as good as iPhone, which is categorically incorrect.
I mean, this is why Android 3 has got a complete UI rewrite, because they've said themselves...
Does it officially do that?
They've said themselves that the UI is not as good as it could be and that they need to improve.
Right. Yeah.
So there's some.
This is the contrast. So for the thing from day one with the very first iPhone, you have to admit, in terms of phones, it was just incredible the way that the feel of the thing responds under your finger.
Yeah, the iPhone.
The iPhone, when it was first released, had no apps, no copy and paste.
It was incredible the way you could scroll through the five apps that were installed. Yeah, that was amazing.
I think the best thing that the iPhone did initially.
To be fair, Mark, one thing. You're the first one of my friends who had an Android phone. What did you get, G1?
It's the HTC Magic. So it's
That's the current one, but you previously had another Android phone.
No, this is the first Android that I've had.
Oh, is it? Yes. Now, the first thing I did was naturally, the first thing you would do, I was presented with a list of the installed apps, and I scrolled through it, and it was stuttery.
Yep.
Like it jerked. That was 1.6, was it?
No, it still is.
That was 1.5.
That was 1.5. 1.5. Android 1.5 is fucking rubbish.
Yeah, and they're still selling brand new phones with it.
And that absolutely appalls me.
That is
something that is definitely terrible about Android, and that is not just inconsistency with, a button layout or whatever, but inconsistency with if you buy an Android phone, there is so much you don't know about what you're going to get.
Yeah. So this is my frame.
Unless you're a nerd who's done a lot of research.
It's my frame of reference. And the thing is that I keep saying...
Can you still buy an original iPhone anywhere?
I doubt it.
Not
retail, no.
So if you buy a new iPhone 3... Like, can you buy an iPhone 3 still?
No, I think you can only probably 3GSs.
Not. I think you can get some 3GSs from the App Store, and that'll only be because they have a backlog, a certain amount of stock in the warehouse.
And they'll come with the original version of iOS that was available at that point in time?
Probably not.
Probably, yeah. No, they might do. They might come with 2 or something.
Do you think so?
Yeah.
So the first thing you'd have to do is you'd go and download the new firmware and change your phone again.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
But that will happen the first time you plug it in and start charging it up, right?
You can refuse it, though. You can always refuse updates.
Right.
You won't be able to install apps.
And, of course, carry on.
So this is my frame of reference. And I do admit that I'm irrational about picking these things when they really do my head in. But I would say, and this is probably what I need to be more clear about, is there are fantastic Android-based phones. Okay, they're not as good as the top-end iPhones. But Android, as an air quotes brand, I feel is quite fundamentally broken because... As a consumer, and I walk in and say, "Hey, can you please sell me an Android phone?" I do not know what I'm going to get.
Yeah,
and so that's what bothers me about air quotes Android.
Yeah, that's a problem.
Yeah,
that's definitely a problem.
That's one of the things that I believe Google is wanting to address with having the newer phones not actually have all the carriers add on all their additional cruft.
Yeah,
what's three called? Sugar tits or something?
the current one that's just released was gingerbread.
Yeah, and the next one is
honeycomb.
Honeycomb.
Android 3 is honeycomb. I wouldn't be surprised if there'll be a base hardware requirement with honeycomb as well.
I believe
they do with Windows Phone 7.
I believe there is, and it's going to be a minimum of high-end.
Oh, just like there is with Windows Phone 7.
Which is so good, Ben, that
you don't use it.
I wonder why they have a base spec for their phones that they can't go below.
I mean, just actually going back to one of our earlier topics about the Wi-Fi snooping of getting all the data.
Yep.
Andy Rubin, in one of his recent presentations where he showed off...
Who was the inventor of Android, basically.
The head of Android development, who was showing off Honeycomb and the 3D Google Maps, where you can just go down into 3D Street View.
Oh, this is with a tablet, not with the phone.
This is with the new tablet that's in development.
It looked really good.
And he was asked, so when can we go through the windows? And he kind of jokingly said, oh, well, that's a different development team.
Yeah.
So they're already snooping.
Yeah.
Hmm.
What?
Nerdery. Who cares? Yes.
Snooping.
Yes, they've got your Wi-Fi data. They've got webcams pointing into your bedroom.
Oh, I see what you're saying. We're going to go through the windows on Street View. I thought you were talking about something very different.
Excuse me, I've been drinking. So we have a couple of corrections for last week. Number one is that it was very long.
Wait, did your Google web browser just crash?
Yeah, my Chrome just crashed a bunch of tabs.
So you don't use a Windows web browser?
No, but I use Windows 7. Love it to death.
I love Windows 7
and
as well.
I like IE9 as well, but it's just not mature enough yet.
Windows 7, it's the next best browser to Vista 64, which was astonishingly good. Beautiful, lovely, never crashed. Wonderful. Windows 7, same as that, only with like weirdly changed Explorer. I'm not clear why. That is all really dull. So last week...
So you're saying it's a correction that the show was too long? Yeah, you mean an apology or correction? Or?
I put that in the corrections section. I don't really apologize for the show being any length. Whatever length it is, you know, how long it's going to be. But what the listeners don't know is that there was a hell of a lot of editing to get it down to the length that it was. I cut a full hour off the recorded length, and I removed a speaker. I removed numerous stories just to get it down to where it was. So, I mean, what you get is the best thing that we can make each week. We work really hard on the show. And so if it's long and you can't fit
really,
it into...
You work really bloody hard on the show.
I mean, yes, and actually, thank you for pointing that out, Ben. I work incredibly hard on this show. If it's too long for your commute, then I'm sorry. I don't mean to make a long show, but you know, if there's lots of stuff and we want to keep talking, then we'll keep talking.
I listen to it in sections. Yeah.
After a year or so of doing our own podcast,
it's a sign that people should live further out in the suburbs. Obviously, their commute is longer.
Yeah, or get out of their bloody cars onto the train.
I've come to the realization that iPods have a pause button.
Right,
they remember where you stopped and where you started.
Yeah, Windows Phone 7 does that too.
Yeah, right. It's great.
So excellent point, but no one uses Windows Phone 7. So what's this about iPods? Now, the second correction is an actual correction. Sort of.
The funny thing is I always read these corrections and I have no idea what they refer to because I've forgotten what we talked about.
Right. Well, because I had to listen through the show, the three-hour-long show, multiple times as I edited it, I heard myself talk about... We were talked about having a militia versus having a standing army. Yes. Yep. We talked about Switzerland and so on. And I made some reference to the Germans... You know, during World War II. I never meant to imply that the Swiss had ever had a problem with the Germans invading. Because, I mean, obviously, they were neutral. So they didn't really have that problem.
Right.
I didn't think that they had that problem, and I didn't mean to imply that they had that problem. If anyone now thinks that Switzerland was invaded by the Nazis, sucked in.
Go and read up on your Wikipedia and then donate to Jimmy Wales.
It's the Discourse Alternate History Podcast.
Do you have any new projects there, Ben?
I'm working on some videos.
New videos for what? Can you talk about this?
Yeah, I think I can. I'm just helping out with some publicity for... Maybe I can't talk about it. I don't know.
So, any new projects, Mark? let's promote your podcasts. That none of my listeners want to listen to.
Only Illegal Argument and Unsupported Oppression, which are two...
Illegal Argument is what?
It's a Java development podcast, and technically so is Unsupported Operation. It's more of a Java news roundup of what's happening in the industry.
So you've actually made a lot of these podcasts, right?
We've done about 55 of Illegal Argument, about 25 of Unsupported Operation.
Yeah,
that's a lot.
Do you use FeedBurner for your stats?
No.
No? Okay. Well, I want to talk to someone who uses FeedBurner and understand what our trend actually means. It's actually very hard to read.
For our alternate podcasts, we do use FeedBurner.
Right. So our trend is growing. Once again, I'm not going to talk about specific numbers. But our trend is growing, but it's very hard to understand what it really means, what it's actually measuring. Yeah. Anyway, bygones. Not so important. Robin, any projects you want to promote? How about the Find Robin a New Job project?
That's an ongoing project.
All right, well, we'll put it in the show notes again.
Yeah.
Do you have a location preference, Auckland, Wellington?
Preferably Wellington, but if anything awesome happened in Auckland, I would be prepared to move there, but Wellington.
Wouldn't it be awful to have to suffer through good weather again, Robin? Oh, my God.
I don't like Auckland in summer. It's too hot.
Oh, no. I hate it when it's all sunny in summer.
I'm a medically certified goth.
Going to and having like swims and stuff.
Getting vitamin D.
God, it's terrible. Well,
people go swimming in Wellington in the ocean, like in wet suits. And all that. My last day at work is on Friday.
Party.
Awesome. Wow. Are you nervous? Are you anxious? Are you excited? Are you thinking of changing your mind?
Bit of all that. You know what? I've had that little kind of twinge of regret, but I read somewhere that if you do anything to the human brain that removes a source of pleasure, your brain will try to do like a last ditch attempt to go back to it.
Same thing, it
works with weight loss as well. That's why you try and stop eating cake and all you can think about is cake.
Actually, funny that you mentioned that. That's a brilliant segue into a segment which I think we probably shouldn't call Fat Watch. And this is a project that you introduced, one of your projects that you introduced last week, which is you're kind of having shakes and losing a bit of weight.
Yeah.
I'm not having shakes, and so I'm probably and I'm not doing anything to my diet whatsoever. But there's an interesting story, actually, a Carnegie Mellon study published in Science that apparently imagining eating a certain kind of food, so imagining that you're eating
a big sandwich
or a lot of ice cream or cheesecake or a hot lunch,
which will make you hungry naturally.
It reduces your appetite for that food that you imagine.
That's really interesting.
According to this study. That seems very counterintuitive. I know that when I think about meat, which is nearly constantly, and as a vegetarian, that's a bad news, I kind of think about meat even more and even more and even more.
Yeah, that seems contrary to what they're saying. I'll have to try that next Friday when instead of having a shake, I go and eat a Wendy's burger because I just had a bad day at work.
Oh, what kind of... Oh, this is like your lunch break thing.
Yeah.
So is this following the theory that a lot of people say that when you think you're hungry, you're actually only just thinking that you're hungry. You're not really hungry.
Yeah.
So if you think you've eaten something...
Yeah.
It's a theory about shopping in the supermarket when you're hungry and that sort of stuff, you mean.
Oh, never
shop. I know, that's bad for me. If I'm thirsty, I end up buying... just so many beverages, just endless juices. Yeah. And
there was some comment that someone said to me is when you go shopping in the supermarket, be thinking the whole time that you're going to pretty much eat everything you put in your trolley.
Yeah.
Which is kind of scary when you think
about it. It's not true of me with all the fruit, because for some reason my fruit gets thrown out.
Yeah. Well, that's the other point they made is basically you're going to eat half the good stuff you put in and all of the shit stuff you put in. So put in more good stuff and less shit stuff.
Right. Yeah. And also only shop with a list. Don't just go and see what you'll find, because that's not going to work well. For some reason, I've got lots of chips. Lots of chips and Kit Kats. Lots of soft drinks and trouble.
And supermarkets are really, really interesting studies in psychology as well, that whole thing about eye-level shelves being more expensive to stock.
What about online supermarket shopping? Because I've tried it once or twice, and I found that I always... overshopped on stuff that I really shouldn't have bought.
If you listen to episode
just because it was there, I'd click on it and say, oh,
is this an opportunity for me to talk about the emails that I've been getting from Foodtown in great detail and at length?
Morgan mentioned these in the previous episode and said they're getting really accurate apart from the meat.
Oh, God, should I do it?
Have they sold you meat recently? Condoms?
Listeners, do you want to hear about it? No, actually, I don't think I've ever had condoms in my list there.
Have you bought condoms?
And no meat this week, but a couple of kinds of beer and a kind of wine. And
Are they selling you Ranfurly?
Oh, fuck, they might have been.
They're obviously listening in.
Let's have a look.
Morgan searches his Gmail.
Something that really annoys me actually about the Foodtown email is that it always comes from a different address. So in Gmail, where I say always download images from this person, I have to say that every single time.
Like a specialized campaign address.
Yeah, it's some kind of bug thing. So if I reply that and know exactly which message they sent me. So there's a couple of kinds of beans and chili and dal and that Spates distinction that you're drinking there. So they're trying to get me to buy more, even though that's the only dozen distinctions I've bought in probably the last year. Strangely enough, Schweppes ginger ale. If anyone would like a scotch and dry, we are well equipped. We are well equipped, strangely enough. Yep, absolutely no meat this week. And
spot on.
Entirely populated with stuff that I actually would buy and do buy and have bought. Yeah, it's very interesting. Kind of, it's sort of a cognitive echo chamber. No, like a consumer echo chamber where they're reinforcing the brands that you already purchase.
And they're giving you discounts on those.
Yes.
That's kind of, you would think that you're...
These are the brands that I'm already programmed to buy.
What is the point?
They should promote other brands that they make more margin on.
If you do a bad choice, then they're going to promote you bad choices again.
Yeah, let's see. Do I have many bad choices here? Well, I guess the ginger ale is probably a bad choice because soft drinks. Oh, Doritos. Nacho cheese Doritos. Mm. It's not even a good one. I don't even really like Doritos. Anyway, this is a fascinating podcast.
Yeah.
Thank you for listening. As always, you can check the site for the show notes.
And you can pass us comments. So you heard the mailbag. We'd like you to add to it.
Comments at discourse.co.nz.
Yep, or the talkback page on the site.
Or Twitter, even though we unfortunately made the mistake of not talking about our Twitter comments, which we probably had 10 or 15 this week. So yeah, it's probably dumb of us not to talk about those. Next week we will. If you have an idea for a guest, then we'll fail to get them. Or if you have questions or comments or complaints or whatever else, then, you know, head us up those ways. Or send us an MP3, just like Mark has done. How easy was it for you to send us that MP3, Mark?
It was very easy. I got at my portable recording studio, recorded
Mark,
it.
Mark.
Yeah, it was easy. It was very easy.
Thank you, Mark. And we'll play it next time.
Yeah.
Thank you for listening. Oh, Robin.
Thank you so much for being on the show.
It's been great.
Company.
It's always good having you on the show. You've got a clean Skype. Oh, God. Don't. No.
I'm in the Wellington studio. Of course it sounds good.
Yeah. Yep. Studio 3. I love Studio 3.
So does Morgan pay your rent?
It's full of mohair and I don't even know what else.
Lovely things.
Cushions and like smells of flowers.
Lavender.
I expect.
Yay.
Yeah. Yeah, thanks for being on the show, Robin.
Thanks, Robin.
And Mark.
Bye.
It's been great being here.
Thank you for being on the show as well. Oh, actually, this is something I haven't mentioned.
And thank you to Richard.
Believe it or not, this is the first time that the original Discourse crew has been together. Because the original Discourse crew, Ben might not even know this, the original Discourse crew was me and Mark and Robin. Long before you came on the scene. We recorded a podcast.
Crikey. Wow.
It wasn't very good, though.
It wasn't very good. We didn't
That was not New Zealand's best podcast.
It wasn't New Zealand's best podcast. The new Discourse is much better than the old Discourse.
I'm glad to hear that.
Hell yeah.
Mainly because of my presence.
No, mainly because I put more thought into designing the show.
And he bought some microphones.
That's true. The early one was just us talking and not knowing what to say.
Yeah. And being kind of awkward. Lots of uncomfortable silences. Yes. Yeah. So
the editing and the mics, more of that.
Yeah, and not having co-host face-to-face, I think makes a big difference. Guests on Skype works really well, but I think that you've got to have some people face-to-face just because it's a little bit faster.
And the fact that we barely get along, I think, also helps really well.
It's true. So what our listeners do not actually see is these two guys are sitting just slightly out of fist reach, and I'm almost having to pull them apart.
Yeah, my lawyer has set a distance. He comes in before we start each record with a tape measure, and he says, no closer than this gentleman.
So you have an actual restraining order?
Well, it's not so much a restraining order as a strong suggestion from a high court judge. Thank you for listening to the show.
Thanks, guys. Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
You're listening to the weekly show on
Of course.
Sorry, we're using that one.